We will call the Alloway Plan Commission meeting for Monday, April 22nd, 2013, to order at 6:30 p.m. Roll call. Perillo. Retzloff.
Here.
Hanson.
Here. I actually need to leave at like between 8 and 8:30, so I know we probably have a pretty long agenda.
Go when you have to go, because we'll be here probably, so that's fine. Rope.
Here.
Coppenrude.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
I am Colada, Chris Colada, here. And Judy was going to come here, Tracy, maybe? Mm-hmm. Judy was going to come? That's fine. With that, we'll move on to agenda topic two. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the agenda? Any modifications? So that Perillo is present. We're just at agenda topic two, modify, adopt the agenda. And I would entertain a motion. If no changes, oh, go ahead, Trustee Dart.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Move to adopt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Rob, okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. The motion carries. Moving on to agenda topic three, minutes from the March 25th meeting. And I would ask all the planning commissioners, make sure that you have your mics in front of you so it can be picked up, please. Thank you. Now, Sherry, there were changes to the minutes that were just made. Can you walk us through those? Because
sure.
The planning commissioners have not had an opportunity to see those yet.
In item number four, there was just up was deleted after members. Wasn't supposed to be there. Number seven, there wasn't a motion on the initial ones that went out. And then number 9, 10, and 11, the motion was put at the beginning of each of those items. Those were the only changes.
Okay. For the planning commissioners, any other changes that were noticed?
I think, just to get the sense right, item 7, point 3, I think the commission wanted the village staff to confirm that confirm the status of the public participation process, since most of us were not aware of what it was.
And actually, Tracy, that leads to, I don't know if we should do this later, there's a number of things in the minutes that I'm sure there's follow-up activities from. And should we just, later on, I don't know if we want to do that under announcements, cover some of those, and just some of the updates like what Roger just mentioned with the public participation plan update?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of those.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So what was
Roger was asking just a question. He said under topic 7, and then under, I guess, parent 3, the commission needs to confirm the status of the public participation in the process of the comprehensive plan update process. And so there's a number of questions that we had. Tracy was unable, as the administrator, to attend last month's meeting. So there were a number of questions that came up through the minutes that we probably should have some follow-up on, and some of them are vital, like the update to the comprehensive plan process. So should we cover that later under... We could do it under planning activities.
Yes, you could do it there, or some of them may be addressed because they're back on the agenda.
Okay.
So they would be in that agenda item, and they would be addressed at that time. So maybe if there's anything at the end, maybe on the discussion of tasks, we could look at it then.
That's fair. I would rather have that discussion after all the other topics are dealt with the public that's here, and then we can deal with those topics under number 12. With that, is there any other changes, or I would accept a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Motion by Hanson. Is there a second? Trustee Dart.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. We'll move on to agenda topic four. Is there any announcements that you have, Tracy?
I just want to remind you tomorrow is the press conference for the tax increment financing district. You should have all got flyers about it a couple weeks ago. It's at the Village Grill. Starts at 12:15, and you are welcome and encouraged to come if you can make it tomorrow.
Is there any planning commissioners that are planning on attending? Oh, and I am planning to attend, so it looks like three of us should be there tomorrow.
Great, thank you.
Any other announcements that anyone else has?
Only that it's Earth Day.
Thank you, Roger. We'll move on to agenda topic five, any public appearances. And this is public comment period before we get into the rest of the agenda topics. Is there any public appearances? Going once, going twice. We'll go on to agenda topic six, and that is site plan review for the home medical equipment at 2021 Riverside Drive or Highway 57. And Tracy, do you have anything?
We can do it either way. There are representatives from the development, Bridge here, Eric from construction, and also Aaron from the stormwater. So, and they can present it first, and then after the fact, I can address anything, or you can ask any questions, or I can start off whichever way you would prefer.
The petitioner can go ahead and give some background. Now, we don't have as much information. We have a lot of questions as a planning commission than what we have as answers. So normally we'd have a little bit more materials that we could react to. So why don't you walk us through your presentation and we can take any questions that the planning commission has. I know I have a number of questions.
You need me to speak here, or if I talk loud enough, will that be all right? Or?
Tracy, what's the preference with the recording system?
If you get close to the mic, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. My name is Rich Otrovic, and I'm representing Radic Development Construction, and we are working with home medical equipment on putting them into the old Bread and Buick building located on corner of Riverside Drive and St. Joseph's. Some of the information here that we've put together is just kind of designed to help take you through some of the things that in meeting with staff, which they felt was going to be potentially required in order for us to make this building suitable for home medical equipment. The first thing I wanted to say was, I think, is everybody pretty familiar with who they are and where they are now and what business they're in and what they're involved with? We did bring some print-offs for them, if anybody was interested, it gives you a little better history as far as what their process is and what they do. If anyone would like, we've got a couple.
Well, is there a reason why moving to this location? Is it just bigger facility or what's?
Yeah, it's quite a bit bigger facility. Right now, they currently have, I think, about 10,000 square feet. So this building houses about 35,000 square feet total, and they'll be taking up to 25,000 of it to start with. So it'd be a new location, so there's going to be a new updated. It's going to allow them to expand their business, add some employees and some services and things like that. Now that you have that, what I can do is kind of walk you through. Our original intent for the building was to do the exterior or the interior remodel, which would be made up of taking some of the existing spaces. The showroom would remain somewhat as is, and then we would expand and add some office areas and what they call their respiratory fitting area, which if anybody's familiar with, it would be kind of established like CPAP machines and CPAP data machines and equipment and things like that. Then they have their warehouse service and bookkeeping, service parts area, things like that, which would be more towards servicing wheelchairs that do some handicap lift equipment items and things like that. So most of our customers are made up of people either with disability, maybe a handicap type services that they would have. When we came in to discuss this project with Tracy and the staff, they indicated that there were some concerns with the site itself that we may need to address as part of our interior remodel and some of the things that we were looking at doing on the exterior. Some of that would be stormwater, which we've been working with Credit and staff, and then Robbie and Associates. We've been working together with them to try to figure out how to do a little better job versus what's there now. We've had some updates to the building. We're going to make some modifications to the parking lot, which will add green space, eliminate some of the lights that are there now, clean it up a little bit. There'll be some of the overhead doors will get filled in, going back either black or EFIS, and just kind of clean up the exterior appearance. A lot of the big rooftop units that you currently see as you go down Riverside will be taken off. Smaller units will be replacing them, but they should not be as visible as what you currently have. The galvanized roof that you see now as you go down St. Joseph's will be covered with the new PVC vinyl, which will be white in appearance, so it'll blend in a little bit better and will clean it up somewhat from where it currently is. So we have a number of things, not only to the building, but what we've talked to staff on as far as trying to update from the site as well. I could walk you through the plans if there are any specifics or if that gives you enough of an overview, if you'd like to go into more detail on.
Any preference from the Plan Commission?
In the sense of...
If we would like...
I've got a whole load of questions.
Is everybody comfortable with what they're proposing? Or is there still questions on what's being proposed for this location?
You know, if everyone hasn't had a chance to thoroughly go through the plans, or if they don't completely understand what's in the plans that we got, maybe we should just do a general presentation on what the overall remodeling is.
There was a mention of concern about the site. Other specifics that we should know about for the staff?
Well, the staff had prepared, and Tracy had sent us an April 16th memo, and I guess sooner or later, either after Rich gives the presentation, we would walk through each of those, because that's probably going to be some of our conditions or concerns, and there might be additional ones, but that's the starting point, is to go through the staff concerns.
Okay. Well, should we just start with the site then? Some of the things, and maybe that leads into some of the questions you have, or are the questions more on the internal operations, or...
Most of them are site-related, because...
Okay.
The interior work is really governed by IBC, the State Building Code, and that's really not our concern. That is, we don't address that. That's what the building inspector addresses.
Okay, why is the normal operation if it was something?
I mean, you answered one question on our on the comment sheet. It initially said that the superimposed roofing would be 60 mil EPDM, and you just said it would be white PVC. That answered one of my questions, because I was concerned you're going to throw a black EPDM on there.
Yeah, we actually looked at that, and we met on that, looking at the options that we had, and based on it, we thought that would be a better stuff to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the exterior of the building and just kind of give you a little bit of an idea as far as some of the changes there. I think you all have this page on a smaller scale in your packet. So if you look at it, and if we start as I'm facing this, it would be the top left-hand corner here. On this page, it really starts pointing out, we've tried to note some of the things that we're going to do here. You can see relocating existing rooftop units. There are currently, as we did the examination of this building and the review of it, we determined that the age of the units that are currently there are no longer worth salvaging. The life expectancy of them has run out. So we'll be replacing them, going to higher efficiency units that will be smaller, spaced out differently, that we'll be able to, again, not necessarily conceal, but they'll definitely be much less visible than what they currently are. Then when you look at going on to that, when you look at the front, the Buick symbol obviously will go away, and we've included a page to give you an idea in comparison of what the HME logo would look like. The size of that is going to be somewhat accurate from what they're looking for, but again, we would have to go back and make sure that the sign company, when they were making permit, was going by whatever was approved. Then when you look at the building itself, if you were to, the service wording would come off above the garage doors. You have two glass doors there, and then you have what was their vehicle delivery area, where there was another glass overhead door, and the front. Those would all be eliminated, and then what we'd have was windows to replace them, and then there'd be block and EIFS or drive-up material that would go in to match the rest of the building. So the Riverside view of it will be, in our opinion, enhanced quite a bit just from the building and the loan, because it'll get cleaned up, filled up, and it'll look a little less industrial. I don't think that's quite the right word, but it's will be enhanced somewhat. Then when you go around to the next picture, number two, the north elevation, again, here we're going to have some signage that will go on to that side. And then one of the things that we're going to do on this is that we've got some paint, and some of the building exterior itself has been in need of some maintenance and some updating, so there will be new caulking and painting and things like that that will happen with the building. There's from a building efficiency standpoint, there's what we would call high-low condition here that was creating some leaking in the building. So when we re-roof that, we'll be eliminating that situation, and the roofing system will just be one constant sheet of rubber that you'll no longer have an issue with that. Going down to the east elevation, which would be the back of the building, there's a, lack of a better word, a wood shed back there that, again, seems to be in relatively rough shape. We'll be demoing that, eliminating that from the site. You currently have metal panel on the back of that building, some of which is in relatively rough shape that's been damaged and dented. We're proposing right now that we would replace that metal panel with new metal panel. However, it's been suggested by staff that we may need to put some type of hard surface there or do something in addition to that. On the south elevation, there isn't quite as much that's going to happen on that side. Again, it'll just be there's some overhangs and some awnings, and those will be removed, and the exterior of the building will be touched up. Any questions on that? No. And if we move on, I did not include every one of the site plans that you have in your packet, but I just wanted to try to give one for a little bit of review for discussion. So what we did is we took the plan page, I believe it's number two, for site. I'm sorry, I think it's page three. So the Robert Lee site plan number three. And we tried to show here some of the things that we were going to do to the exterior site, you know, as opposed to what's currently there now. We show a phase drawing that we talked with staff about where we would replace and try to recreate the storm drainage and then redo this area to provide new parking and striping, restripe this area, and then the areas highlighted in green would be the new green space added. Now, again, one of the things that we're checking on is potentially taking this driveway on the south side of the building and eliminating that and adding some additional green space there. We still don't know. It seems to be okay as per the local, your local fire chief, but we don't know from the state code if there's any reason that we'd have to have it as an accessible hard surface. We don't think we need it all the way, but we need to determine that. But we'd be willing to increase the green space along there as well. There's some modifications then right now. As this starts to drain down here, the water dumps out onto Riverside and creates some damming. So one of the things we were working with, again, with Tracy and staff on was to get some catch bases, some inlets, add some concrete curbing around here, and a little bit more green area there to help control some of that. Some of that will be done in these areas. There's a little bit of a small detention or holding area that would slow some of the water down in that corner, too. And you can't necessarily see it too well from this plan, but on some of the other plans, it does show that a bit better. I think number five in your set? Yeah, number five is going to be creating a plan that would give you a little idea on how that would work from them. Then we've added quite a bit of a landscaping to it in addition to what's there now. Obviously, there's not a lot to the current site, so we've increased what's there. And The areas in the back, again, are the, some of the areas for the trash enclosure and then a concrete apron that would be involved back here. Again, one of the things would be some conversations that have come up, but we've kind of left it as a possibly a conversation point tonight with you folks would be the number of driveway accesses that are along here may be somewhat excessive for the site or more than what you would typically want to see, so we'd be open to looking at reducing them as well if you felt necessary.
And Rich, just so the parcel we're talking about is basically the front portion up to Highway 57. What about the rest of the remaining parcel? Has that been decided, or?
Well, as of currently right now, there's really nothing that we have earmarked to do with this piece. It's kind of excessive land that was purchased at the time the building was bought. So the, right now it's an asphalt parking lot. I think Brendan used it for vehicle storage or display or something of that line. But we may, you know, somewhere along the line, possibly it could be utilized for, you know, whatever, maybe just excess parking that cleaned up for what it was. If it needed to be reduced a little bit to add to some green space calculations or something, we could.
But it probably wouldn't be another redevelopment of some sort, because it's tough to have the conversation about how many street permits or how many driveways are the right number when it's hard from our perspective. We don't know what's happening on the rest of the parcel.
It's possible that this piece back here, if it's not needed for this building, then maybe we would do something with it. The plan right now is that we have no plan for it. Okay. But to say if down the road, if we would look at the potential of possibly putting an office there, doing something maybe like a Lanichek has to kind of complement that building, I mean, it may be enough space to qualify as a vacant lot. I don't know. We haven't reviewed any of that with the ordinance to know if it would be something we could do at this point, but... But for right now, as far as the driveway end or anything, I think that access is back here. Just from a feasibility standpoint, there are some trucks that would come in. They would take their loading back here. They have service vans that would be coming in and out of this. And so this driveway, I guess, would be ideal for us to keep. So if at some point we did do anything here, we could probably do some shared use off of this.
I guess the one, seeing we're jumping into the access, we can stay on this topic for a minute. What about the driveway that's the closest to Riverside? What's the distance on there, approximately? On St. Joseph, sorry.
Good question. I don't know if you guys can scare me. Yeah, you like to
open up a full-size
plan? I'm going to guess that it's probably, if you look at from the backside of the existing curb or right-of-way area there, you're probably close to 50 feet or better. Oh, yeah, it's better than this. This appears to, from this curb line right here, it shows the start of it being at about 115 feet.
Okay. Because that might be a discussion. I mean, it does look like there's a number of driveways. The one on Riverside or Highway 57, okay, that's fine. You would want to keep that for circulation. I agree with you. The driveway in the back that you would use the deliveries, that makes a lot of sense. But if there's a way we could reduce that conflict point closer to the intersection, at least that's my thoughts. I don't know. Correct.
Yeah.
And especially if you have that other driveway that's relatively close, you'd have pretty good circulation. I don't know if that driveway adds a whole lot to the site plan.
It actually could be more beneficial as just some parking stalls, really, or something. That would be just as useful. I don't think they would have too much of an issue with it.
Okay. It's just an initial thought that I have. I don't know if anyone else on the Planning Commission
has any concern. I agree with your observation.
Okay. And speaking of observations, I'll throw this out. We received one citizen comment, and this person is on another village committee, and they just said if there's a new tenant, they'd request the placement of the light stands along Riverside. They should be moved back or removed to allow a better site angle of traffic. And so it's just something, I know that the village clerk passed that on to all the plan commissioners, I believe, today.
Yeah, that actually came up also in the staff notes.
Okay.
It was one of the things that they brought up. And currently right now along Riverside, I think what is being discussed is that there's five poles right along this area. What we were proposing to do was eliminate the two exterior ones and the one center one, and we would be left with these two poles here, and then what we would do would just add an additional head to them, and then this one over here. So we thought that by adding an additional head to these three locations, that we could pick up the necessary lighting there.
Okay.
Also, because of the fact that they were trying to display cars that were in the past, we probably wouldn't need to be quite as high either, which I don't know if that necessarily helps. It probably helps some from the light foot candles on the ground, if that's an issue. But I know when you look from this area back across here, you know, this one for sure would be a concern, and I don't know if there's anything, you know, we may be able to adjust the size of those bases a little bit or some placement too, if that helps the cost.
I guess that's a question I have for Tracy. Did the building inspector, when you looked at this, when it was previously a car dealer, I mean, they wanted to light their lot. And I'm not going to say noise pollution, or light pollution, but is it something that now all of a sudden the use changes on this parcel? Did the village look at that as far as maybe we don't need the lights as high as what they once were?
We definitely talked to the developer about trying to limit them. They had a couple different options. One was to remove poles, which we were all in favor of. The light levels, the last sheet of your plan has the light levels for the lighting that the building inspector has looked at. He does not have a concern on it. We have not directly talked about height of the poles, so that's something that I have not spoken to him about. But as far as the levels that are there with eliminating every other pole, he does not have an issue with the new light levels that would be there that would meet the standards, he feels.
I guess one topic I don't want to bring up, but I should bring up, this is in our TIF district. The village has a tax incremental finance district, and you're catching us early that we don't have a necessarily established theme or district. So it's one of those, on one hand, I know that St. Joseph and Riverside is a major corridor to the village, but at the same time, we've struggled as a plan commission. What is our theme? How do we want this to look? So it's one of those, and Tracy, I don't know if staff has given any thought to that also.
You know, we really haven't. We've worked with the developer on trying to get a good business from there, which HME is a good business. Dressing it up, making the building look better than it does right now, with the additional landscaping, looking at the lighting, the paving of the area, taking care of the stormwater. Like I said, we don't necessarily have a theme for the TIF yet, but we believe that any enhancement to the site, which is being proposed, will definitely benefit the village and make it a better site. It's a great thing that someone's going in here as quickly as they are. I mean, you see these buildings sometimes take for years and years and years before anybody actually comes into them because it's a huge building, and it's hard to get a new tenant in the building. So that is a plus for us that we're getting a tenant. Unfortunately, still in our community, moving down the road a little bit, which is great that they're staying in our community, but opening up another spot in the community. We just think it will be an asset to have somebody in there and to be able to clean this up a little bit and have a nice, viable business in there.
Okay. I just have to ask it. It's on the corner, and we're starting our planning effort. In fact, tomorrow is our kickoff for the TIF district that we're announcing in the Village Tax and Environmental Finance District. Any other General Plan Commission questions on the topics that we're covering right now for Rich? Yes, Howard.
I just had a question about the parking lot resurfacing. Were you going to do the entire parking lot? I'm sure it's said in here someplace. Maybe I missed it. You have a phase one and then phase two. Are you going to be doing the entire parking lot that
initially
to a part of phase two as well? Or?
I'll go back to this plan because it shows it a little better. Initially, our intentions were to basically take the existing gray that was there and just grind the top of it and then recoat and do another surface. As in working with, again, with staff, that helped us to discover basically that there's some issues with it from a stormwater management standpoint that would require us to do some regrading there. So at this point now, we're probably looking at having to take this area and basically pull this up. And again, if you go to page 5 in the grading plan, it'll show how our contours are going to have to be done. So in some regard, we're going to be redoing it so that we're able to control that water a little better to redirect it to where it needs to be. So because of that, that requires us to go back and pull that up, put some new base in, and actually do new asphalt all the way around. Now, because of budgetary constraints on this and the expense that we're
not have a tenant for
so one of the things that Tracy and Craig were, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but seemed willing to think that would be at least something we could present to you would be the idea of trying to just give some time to before we did the rest of it. Now there's some things we're going to have to clean up there. If you go down this stretch right now, if you were able to go over there and drive hand that building, it's pretty rough shape. Mm-hmm. So my guess is sooner versus later, we're going to need to do something. Now, HME is willing to contribute with me to some of the improvements over the course of the next couple of years to try to get that improved. But I don't have a specific timeline that we've thought of. You know, if it's something that you would like to see, I can, you know, we could present that for sure.
Will you be keeping all of the storm water on site, or are you dumping some into the site?
The intent is right now I think the majority of it goes to the street, and I don't know if I can say 100% of it, but we're going to be capturing a much larger percentage. Do you know exactly?
Yeah, the way the site is now, it all overland flows over the terrace and into the road, and we're going to catch it all on storm drains and then run it to the storm sewer underneath Riverside.
So we will be, so
what, district,
yeah, there'll be, you know, there'll be some of it the general won't get, but obviously it'll be a major improvement over what the condition and the circumstances on Riverside are now, because according to what we've been finding out, that's been a bad spot as far as flooding. So this should, you know, with the improvements of the storm system should improve it quite a bit. But this will all be curved along here where we show the orange is what's been highlighted for curving. And then there's inlets along there, and then some relatively large catch basins that are going to need to be placed in here, and then those will get tied in.
Okay, so you'll try to use those catch basins to collect your storm water from the site?
Yes.
And then direct it to the storm sewer?
Correct, yeah. And we're working, Robbie Lee and Associates, the engineers are working with Craig in that division on it currently.
Okay. Is this a permitted use for the current zoning?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Does it represent a change of use for IBC?
It does not from a classification. If you go into like a medical division or licensing, they don't require any of that for that. That was one of the questions that staff asked. Mm-hmm. But we do require, because of the extent of remodel, to go back in and bring the interior up to code. So
yeah.
Going into the inside.
I'm just concerned whether the auto dealership was in another classification of occupancy. Because you're going to just be a business occupancy the way it is now.
Yeah, but that classification, there will be code changes. I can't tell you what classification or code it's going to jump from, but there will be some changes here.
Okay. Do you know if the rear and side setbacks that you've shown, I think they're called out to be 6 feet, are those per current code?
Rear and side setbacks of what page are you on, if I can?
It's the site plan review application. Marks the setbacks on the rear and the side of 6 feet. I'm just interested in knowing if they're
if it's building setback, we're in excess of 6 feet all around the building.
Okay.
So I don't know where.
All right. So it's just stipulating what the required setbacks are.
We would be. I think the closest one that you're going to have is obviously the south side, which would be again here, and assuming that the scale is appropriate. So you're that drive line there is a little better than 20 feet with a few additional feet, so you're probably close to about 25 feet approximately.
Okay. For the programmatic needs for the people who are coming to this facility, are there going to be a lot of people who are handicapped using wheelchairs?
Yes.
Okay, because you only have the minimum number of accessible parking stalls shown in the parking. Wouldn't you necessarily need to have more accessible parking stalls?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that is a good point. I think that's something that we could easily address and add. I think it
really should relate to the program of what their client occupancy. So if they need more, they should identify that.
That's a good point. And we can take a note of that. We can show more of them. And they may, HME may have a requirement too as far as showing that. So that's a pretty good point.
And where would the main entrance be that they would access? I mean, would it make sense to have some handicap spot somewhere else, or does it make more sense to have it basically to the west as shown?
I'm going to see if I can do this on two plans for you here.
Sure.
If you look at this, if you look at that, and then, again, some of this we're working on the inside, so a few of the rooms or locations might change a little bit. But for the most part, we know that this retail area is going to stay as is. So the main entrance for everybody is going to be coming into here. So you'll have a significant group of people that are going to want to park somewhere in that area. Now, the building itself, I don't know how many of you have been in there, the showroom is tiered. There's a handicap ramp that goes up around this side, and then there's two sets of stairs that go up from here. So we want to keep the secondary entrance as an option up here so that some people are able to park on this side and then enter into the building right at this location. So from a design standpoint, we really have the one along Riverside, but people, as they get somewhat educated, they may go to the side one more. So there's.
So you might want to take a look at maybe putting some handicapped stalls on the side, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess one other, once again, we're in an unknown world. We don't know. There is a reconstruct level project planned for Riverside or Highway 57 in the future. If sidewalk, and I know that's a discussion that staff has had, if it would happen, and it's one of those, we don't want to bind if we don't know that's what's going to happen, but at the same time, have you thought how would sidewalk tie into your building and how would you get them into your facility?
Well, two things I guess that we're thinking about right now that were brought up. First of all, if we one of the recommendations were for us, once we determine how many entrances onto St. Joseph's we'd have, that those would possibly convert to a concrete apron to meet current standards of the village. And if by doing that, then you have the crosswalk area that would be designated for the sidewalk. We think that based on the current layout, depending on where that is, we would have enough area there that we'd be able to either cut that our existing parking lot back a little bit to provide for that future area to be in green space now, so that if you do say, hey, we got to put that in later on, we're not having to adjust our day-to-day operations if the green space is there and we just incorporate the sidewalk. From the Riverside end, it's been told to us that it's coming. So we can try to make the adjustments to the parking lot now to make accommodations for it in the future, or we put it in based on what's acceptable now and we'll fix it later. I can tell you that our intent now to try to get it right so that when we go and the road gets expanded and some of the things that could happen in there, that we're not having to again adjust or make a problem. So.
Okay.
This is related to, again, the operations of the business more than anything else. Is it conceivable that some of the employees will take a bus to this location and have to walk down St. Joseph's to get to this facility?
It's conceivable. I don't specifically know if there's anybody who does that. I think, because of number one, what's more conceivable would be that you may have visitors that would do that.
Right. Okay.
But I think that, without going directly to them and asking their operations vision and checking on that, they would probably have some kind of knowledge. But I would say that the likelihood of it is that somebody somewhere along the line would probably do that.
Because right now there are essentially no pedestrian accommodations on St. Joseph's. I also noticed that you provide for no bicycle parking around the building. Our comprehensive plan stresses both as accommodations we're trying to make in the village. So I'm just wondering you know, how do you get someone who has to walk to the facility or who wants the bicycle to the facility? What do you do for those people?
The bicycle one I can answer easily, because we'd be more than willing to put some, you know, I'm assuming it's some bike park area or secured block area. I mean, and I think we can incorporate some of that in here. As far as the how somebody would access it on foot that would be coming down the road from one direction or the other, right now, I don't, until at such time, if you determine that you're going to put any additional sidewalk in along those areas that we tie into, you know, my guess would be that they would just follow whatever the side of the road is and follow the parking lot. Now, if there's something that we could do that would be relatively beneficial to help accommodate that a little easier, I mean, we'd certainly be open to any suggestions on it.
Yeah, I think it would be worthwhile having that discussion with the village. And you have quite a bit. It seems like you're going to have quite a few more staff working in this building than they might have when it was an auto dealership.
And when you've been doing it in other situations, is it mainly just taking some type of a concrete walk and tying it across the parking lot, or what have you done in the past, or would that be something you would work with staff on?
You need to work with staff, but I would think a designated pedestrian crossing through the parking would be appropriate.
If you have,
your accessible parking areas need to have a marked crosswalk anyways.
Okay, right.
To get from the accessible parking stall.
Yeah, so you're saying we could even do something just hashed and just kind of show it just so that we're indicating something. And I think we could very easily do that. That would be fine, and we certainly can address that on the plan.
I guess one example that the Plan Commission and staff did was along Webster, right next to CP Center. There's that orthodontic center. And basically there was an existing sidewalk that ran along Webster. One of the things we had talked about having a sidewalk to get you to that orthodontial center. So it's one of those, and especially the property to the south, that's going to be redeveloped. So it's one of those, we're trying to maximize opportunities for pedestrians in the future. At the same time, we don't want to penalize, like in this case, we don't know what the corridor along Riverside is going to have. We don't know what St. Joseph's going to have, per se.
Yeah.
And if we were farther along in our visioning process for the whole TIF district, there's some corridors we say we want. I don't want to have people go through a lot of effort if we're not entirely certain what's going to happen out there yet. But we do want to plan for the future also. Yeah.
Well, I think based on what we've already been told are coming with, you know, the setbacks along here and potentially adjusting some of this and with whatever we would need to do in this area, we can work with that and try to help it into an easier transition later.
Even though we're not supposed to address building code issues, let me do another site question first. You have a couple of doors that open into landscaped areas, and in one case you show a stoop that's near where the garage doors are. I'm looking at sheet 6, but maybe you're... Right. So there's a stoop with a door, an exit door, over on the right-hand side where you're closing up the garage doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another door over on the left-hand side.
Yeah, the front walk is concrete.
That's all concrete out there?
Yeah.
Okay. So it would only be that one stoop where you actually need to... extend that out to a paved surface.
Yeah, I don't know either. It may be because right now the current plan shows two doors here. So my guess is one of those is going to be required emergency exit.
Okay.
So if that was the case, we would put an apron out there or something sizable enough to meet code for the required exit. We probably would not promote it as a primary exit door. We'd probably be alarmed or something.
Well, the issue is emergency exiting. If people have to get out of there in emergency, and in particular, if you have someone in a wheelchair that has to get out.
Correct. And that's where we would meet whatever ADA code requirements are. So if we had, you know, if we may need, I think they're showing an apron there. I don't know what the actual size is. I would have to have the architects, but we would design that to meet that code would be.
Yeah. It's just, wouldn't want to think that a place that has medical equipment to aid people who have health limitations or mobility limitations would purposefully design something that creates a limitation.
Yeah, no, wouldn't be our intent.
Is there any other questions the Planning Commission has before we go into the staff comments? Sorry, Rich, a lot of questions.
I have a question on outside storage of trucks. Do you have delivery trucks? How many would be stored on site?
I don't know specifically. I think where they are now, there's about 10 of them that are stored up there, and they're the van style. So, our intention, even though this area back here would not, you know, this would be kind of considered the vacant space, or the unoccupied space, you know, our intention would be to do something back in this area, you know, where it's a little bit out of line. We've talked about potentially screwing this a little bit, maybe with some fencing or something. But that would be, you know, kind of the approximate area where they would be planning on parking most of that.
Back in this area, back here, because this is their loading area, and we're going to park some of those up along the building and stuff.
That faces the cemetery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not that that makes it accessible.
They're not going to care that much, though.
Barb, was that the answer you're looking for, or do you have a follow-up question?
That was it. I do have a question on the lighting. Currently there are full cutoff light fixtures, and you had mentioned that you might be adding an additional head. Would that be the same type of light fixture?
It would be the same style, yeah.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you. Well, let's go into the April 16th memo that Alloy staff put together. And some of these we've touched on and through some of our planning commissioner comments, others we didn't. As we mentioned, and I apologize for reading two pages of stuff to everybody, but basically some of the public works comments, Riverside Drive reconstruction, preliminary engineering is in process, and reconstruction is expected in 2018. While this is out a few years, it's recommended the front lot parking area designed to take in consideration that it's possible that Riverside Drive may be widened to accommodate sidewalks and bike lanes. And this may require additional right-of-way of up to 10 feet. And it's very preliminary. I guess one comment on the plans, Rich. Riverside Drive is marked as Highway 54. There's one that's got it right and a lot that have it wrong. It's Highway 57. So not a big deal, but just so you're accurate when you take it to the board in the future. You got it right in one place, but you got it wrong in more places. It always looks good to know what highway you're talking about or area, but that's... All right, so... Moving on, number two, it is recommended that the south area narrow paved area adjacent to the existing building be removed and landscaped to improve the appearance of this area. This paved area no longer serves traffic. And I think you touched on that already, Rich. Is that correct, Tracy?
Yes, it was discussion. So basically, it's the side facing the cemetery. There's a very narrow drive there at this point. When you put that landscaping in, as you see, it cuts off all access to that. So our discussion was to get some more green space and put that back to green. But again, they need to check with the building. I know there's some access things with the building inspections department to make sure that was okay. There is an issue as far as fire department, and it's just a matter of checking for access of anything on the building end.
Mm-hmm.
We may be able to do some, but... not all. If you can kind of see where it is on this sketch here.
Where this goes down this lane right here is what we're talking
about. Okay.
So,
thank you.
And from an accessibility, although it's probably too narrow for a fire truck to get down, typically what they want to be able to do is right halfway down that. So we might, at a minimum, be able to do half that driveway and kind of. But my guess is we're probably going to be okay doing the whole thing, but I don't know.
Okay. And that's fair. If you don't know yet, you don't know yet. We've kind of touched on the sidewalk, and that was just another, we're not sure about, there's no plans for sidewalk on the south side of St. Joseph, but there is for the north side. However, with the Riverside Drive upgrade, it's possible a future sidewalk may be added, so we'll just leave that. We had mentioned the stormwater management plan has not yet been provided as of date of this memo, so that's still going to be a condition of moving forward. Then there's the erosion control plan on sheet 5 should include erosion control measures on the storm inlet at the west driveway on Riverside Drive, and also to any inlet to the south if present. And this would have to be an insert basket or similar approach. And this should be added to the plans. And Tracy, you shared that?
Yes, I believe that Craig has been working with the stormwater authority on that end as well.
Okay. And then topic 6, the erosion control plan must include providing an erosion control inspection weekly and after rainfalls during the work. And this should be provided weekly to the building inspector. And then just to note that the plantings on the corner of South Joseph and Riverside at the south driveway are subject to the village site triangle restrictions. It appears that these plantings may be within the site triangle. Please check these and modify if necessary.
Yeah, those are definitely going to need to be moved back, you guys, just with all the reconstruction and everything else, so that could be shifted further on to the site.
And then, Tracy, who checks that? The building inspector? Does Craig from the public works perspective or both?
You know, it's coming both from Craig and also our forester.
Okay.
So between the two of them, you can work with them. And, you know, some of the plantings in there were a little high, too, but if you push it back, so maybe you won't have that problem with those, with the higher plantings that were in there. So.
Yeah, I know that was one of the things they said, too, to kind of watch that. So we'll probably do a species update a little bit to make sure that we don't have anything that would exceed
36 inches,
so we'll re-verify that and make sure we're accurate as far as what's
okay. And then note that the stormwater BMP maintenance agreement will be required for the stormwater system and must be signed and recorded as part of the permit. A sample agreement is available on the village website. This agreement defines the routine annual maintenance for the BMPs. Tracy, you took care of that, or you've had that discussion?
It's kind of an after the fact. It's best management practice. After it's all done, they're required to put together a stormwater management plan for care into the future, and then they're required to keep up with that. And if there's any kind of clean outs of drains or anything like that, they would have to make sure they take care of that, and then that is just attached to the property.
And then note that the street access permit is required if driveways are modified, and also note if the existing curb is to be removed or replaced, it is necessary to remove the entire curb and replace with a new curb. Sawing curbs or patching and a partial new curb is not permitted. This can be evaluated in the field and determined when the field access permit is applied for. And I guess one, we started to have the discussion about the driveways on St. Joseph. I don't know if it's appropriate to wait till the state review of the plans as far as the fire access and what's allowed or not allowed, or if we should just make a preliminary recommendation tonight.
No, our fire chief did look at it. Does not have any concerns with the current site plan, but at that time the discussion was not held on, you know, combining some driveways. So it'd be something to go back to him and just double check if he had any issue. I don't envision he would, as far as just getting in. You know, if he can get access to that building off St. Joseph and off of Riverside, that's what he really needs. And if it's just one access in particular off of St. Joseph to this front of this and then one in the back, I don't think he would have an issue with that.
Okay. Then we had some recommendations from the parks director. Recommend that the corner planting be moved. It is in the site triangle and will probably be a problem for snow plowing. Concern about the height of various plantings in the bed as well, and that we've talked about, Rich. And design of the planting bed near building and plant selection is good. And need to provide detail the size of mulch rings on trees and how they will be staked. Any questions on that? Otherwise, the recommendation from the building inspector and the administrator requires state-approved plans prior to development. The narrow south drive around the building needs to be returned to grass. When the east end of the building is developed, the owner should be required to combine the east and west parcel into one parcel. There are currently 5 driveways into the property, 1 from Riverside and 4 off St. Joseph. Consideration should be given to restricting 2 driveway accesses off of St. Joseph. We've talked a little bit about what staff had said about closing the nearest one. It's one of those, does the Plan Commission, and we can get into this after we go through all of the recommendations, but we should have a discussion about what type of access off of St. Joseph do we think is fair as they move forward. It's our recommendation, and the board will have ultimate say, but it's a starting point. And then recommendation from the fire chief. The fire inspector has no concerns with the current site plan. He does not have a problem with the skinny south driveway being returned to grass. They will not get that close to the building or could get in that area anyways with a fire truck. And then we are asked as a plan commission to consider the recommendations from staff in regard to the proposed development and take them under consideration. So is there any comments about what I just read, the staff comments? And then does the plan commission have any other additional questions or comments for Rich?
Can I add one other comment?
Sure.
Came a little late from the building inspector as we were looking at the site. With the paving of the front or the west side and then the north side, one of the things talked about, just because, like Rich said, the condition of the parking lot further to the east of the building is really poor shape, and some of it may have to be repaired just because of the stormwater portion of it. What we required when we had the organic clinic go in, it's just like basically blackening that, you know, just put a thin overlay, not an overlay, just to make it look better, the existing parking lot. Fix what you really need to fix in the far eastern parking lot. Just because people will be coming in and out of there, and just to make it look a little better. Maybe the 2 upper ones, leave as is. Those are kind of out of sight a little bit. But right along the edge of the building and on the back of the building, just to really dress it up a little bit, just to put that, even if it's just the black paint that makes it look better and it's restriped, just so it, you know, it looks better and it looks finished for that part of it.
Where on the in the parking area, you have a parking count on sheet 3 of 152 spaces. Does that include the angled parking at the east end of the site? Or is that just the straight parking?
Yeah, that must include all of it.
Yeah, it was probably just a total based on what was there existing. That's well beyond what would be required for them from a tenanting standpoint, as far as their needs and typical portion of the space.
How many customers do they typically get at the same time?
Could vary. I think if, you know, if I were to say 10 would probably be a high count at any one time. You know, a lot of it is by appointment, especially when you get into the respiratory area, you have to have an appointment set. Now, however, they do have 10 of those areas, those fitting rooms that are going to be in there. So it's possible they could have that all filled at the same time. I don't know that they always staff it that heavy. But then if they have a certain period where there's a lot of customers coming. But I've been there 20 times in the last 2 months, and I think the 3 or 4 customers at one time has been the maximum that I've seen. But again,
so you really don't need what you're required to have.
We'll have to provide for code, you know, the whatever number per thousand, but yeah, we would be.
But operationally, employees and visitors.
They are planning, this site will now, one of the things they were considering, they're expanding their operations into Sheboygan, but because of what we were able to do with this site and work on with that way, this will be their headquarters for HME. Mm-hmm. And so there may be some operation things that add, there'll be some employees and some new employment opportunities coming, so that's potentially expandable for that as well down the road.
So your handout says there's 51 employees at the current location, so that number would go up possibly?
Yeah, I would say for sure, yeah, they're growing. I can't give you a specific or anything absolute as far as what their projections are. I know they do have some projections on that, but I would think with this location alone, you're probably going to add anywhere from 5 to 10 people almost immediately, and then it'll go up.
It might be worthwhile to think about that low area on the corner It looks like there's about 3 feet of elevation difference before any stormwater would overtop that catch basin. I mean, it looks like the grades are kind of complicated out there anyway, just because of how shallow the storm sewer is. But to have turf grass there, it might get stressed, pretty stressed. It might be more worthwhile to have some planting instead that might be able to withstand some more wet conditions.
Yeah, we're actually creating that grade that's not existing. Okay, so yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but it looks like there's not really elevation to get an undergrain under there or anything.
Yeah, and with moving that landscaping, we might have to adjust on that depression set.
Could you go over again your delivery van access? They go with, where do they back up to? The very east wall, or do they come to this around the dumpster enclosure and back up to this?
They will load on this pad back here. So right now the intention is assume that they will come in this area, one of these two driveways back here. As they pull in, they'll either pull up here or they'll either pull up into this and then back into that area and get loaded. And then they'll come out of this door or this door from their warehousing standpoint. They have a forklift that will then load, or a lot of it is by hand as well.
This void area between the angled parking and the straight parking, is that an open area?
Where you're seeing this curb here, I believe it is. I don't know if we have a picture of that. Do we have any additional pictures of that back parking? I think it is. There's some kind of almost retaining wall.
Yeah.
It seems to tear as you start going down St. Joe's Hallway.
It just seems like a circuitous way to get in. They have to curve around into this two-way path, and then they have to squeak around the dumpster enclosure and then back up. And I'm just wondering if this other straight parking could maybe go up against the building like you have it on the north side.
Flip this stuff over here, give them a better access.
Straight block that road. We're at a minimum.
Reduce it. It'll just be worse when you have clear snow and everything.
Yeah. Move those against the building.
Which
makes sense.
From our standpoint, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good idea.
Or the other thing you could consider is moving the driveway a little bit if you needed to, versus moving, maybe you're going to have to move both, I don't know. Move the parking and maybe modify. Right. Now, is that access for the trucks to get back to that overhead door, is that's going to be still in a rough condition, or is that going to be improved also? Eventually versus soon.
My guess is that sooner versus later we're going to have to do something with it, just based on the condition. Currently, they don't have dollars to put in towards that right now. That's why they'd like to stage it a little bit. We can probably do, and agree, obviously, to what the requirements would be to do some resurfacing. If you went there and you looked at it, I would be hard-pressed to not try to scrape up enough to figure out how we would do that, because it wouldn't make too much sense to resurface it, knowing that there's a lot of cracking back there that you'd have to look at.
And I'm not proposing, I understand the money now versus maybe planning for it in the future, but if that's the way the trucks are going to be coming in and out, is there a way, at least the path, to try and make it somewhat smooth so they're not being jarred? I'm not proposing resurfacing all of it now, but it just leveling it out a little bit, so it's, I think it's pretty bad. It's been a while since I've been in there, but
whatever you're remembering, it's probably worse.
So I'm making that comment for the driver's benefit, not my benefit.
It's like a conversation with a dentist. I got a tooth that needs to be done. Sure. No, you're right. We'll have to do something with it. I mean, I think that's inevitable. And we can certainly look at it and put some.
Any other comments?
At the beginning, you mentioned that the rooftop units would be replaced with newer, smaller ones, but they'll still be visible from the street unless they were screened in some way. You know, was there any plan to either move them to a different location on the roof, or else have them so they're out of the line of sight if you're on the street level, or some kind of screening?
Show you this one will kind of help. If you were to look at where this is now, you've got two areas basically. This roof, if you go through this side, there's what they call a lean-to addition or a single slope addition that was put onto it. So this portion of it is a pre-engineered section of building, has approximately a 410 gable slope to it. Currently, what we would do is we would resurface that, and we would have basically zero penetrations going through it with any rooftop units on it. We would eliminate all that stuff. We'd have some exhaust, you know, a few things like that that would be kind of white and PVC that would go away. So this portion would get cleaned up quite a bit. When you look at the front section here now, currently they would be visible from Riverside, but the building itself screens them as you come down St. Joseph's. When you look at, and I apologize for jumping around, when you look at where these are, you know, you can see a lot of this big ductwork and stuff back here. That's on future phase. I may not immediately take that off, but more than likely it will. And then when you look at these units here, there is some parapet walls. Now you can see back where these units might stick up a little bit from where they are currently, but it's going to be quite a bit better than what it is. I think as you go, you know, as you go down the road and you look at some of the stuff that's there, because this side is less viewable as you go down the hill from St. Joseph's, I don't think you're going to see as much. So, no, we have not considered any additional screening to it. But, again, it doesn't mean we can't, but it's...
it's just a question. Yeah. The other question I had, you're going to fill in a couple of those roll-up doors in the front, and it would be maybe an EPIS, you know. Will it look as if it's, you know, will the facade look, I mean, sometimes you look at a corner building that used to be a filling station, and there's something else there now, but when you see it, you think filling station, you know, I mean, and so.
Well, we hope you don't think filling
station. How noticeable will it be that it used to be a car dealership?
Yeah.
When you look at the facade from that elevation, the whatever direction that's facing east.
Well, right now our intention is that there's a combination of materials here, which there's some split face black, some brick, and then some EPIS. The advantage that we have with it is all of it is painted at this point, so there's really not going to be any trouble with it matching up from a color, texture, tone. So in these areas, you have an anodized aluminum burgundy, anodized aluminum framing around the windows. So our intention would be to put that same color to match the showroom glass and continue that in windows in this area that would be raised up off the ground, similar to what you have behind you, probably. And then on the outside face, we would match, I think that there's some block, split face block on the bottom, and then it carries into an EPIS above that. So our intent would to be to get it to look as like it was always like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that it will, but there are efforts.
Thank you.
So.
Any other questions the Planning Commission has?
I'll make one last comment. In these notes we have, you're going to be overlaying the metal roof with some insulation and boards and new membranes. I think the building code wants you to look at the structure then if you're increasing your dead load.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Wisconsin code is a special requirement that
way. Yeah, additional collateral on it. Yeah, you're correct. And I know the engineers are looking at all that stuff too, the designs.
If no other questions, I do want to open this up to the public if they have any comments or questions before we make a recommendation as a planning commission. Thank you, Rich, for your patience. You might get more questions, though, but...
That's all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And is there anyone from the public that would like to speak regarding this proposed development? Yes, ma'am.
We are in the building closest to Riverside, the condos.
Okay.
And we see that corner. And we see people come around, and that first driveway close to Riverside is a real hazard. I know you brought it up, Michael, here today.
Yeah.
You know, I think we'd like to see that one not exist, because so many times we see cars come around, slam, you know, all of a sudden somebody's coming out of the driveway. It's too close to the intersection.
Could we, technically, we should probably have your name and address for the, I mean, either business or home address for the record?
Oh.
Please.
Lorna Holtz. I'm secretary of the condo up on the hill. I'm the one closest to the Brennan property. 366 West St. Joseph Street.
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
H-O-T-Z.
Thank you.
And that's your major concern, is that driveway? Is there any other...
That's something we see frequently. It's an obstacle for people turning off Riverside to go off to St. Louis. And for people exiting the Brennan property at that point. Since we've got a lot of other driveways, I think that's pretty essential.
Any other comments from the public? Thank you.
We're all three from that.
Oh, all three, okay. Yes?
Yes, Dan, 366 West Central. We talked about where the trucks and everything would be parked. Won't the park, isn't there room for all the trucks to go into the building to be parked? I mean, like overnight in there?
Well, my understanding is they're going to have a lot of office inside, and they're going to have, I mean, storage and other parts.
Well, actually, the whole requirements won't allow that. Either so, because there's when you have different code requirements like indoor vehicle parking and things like that. There's just a lot of applications.
That's something that would be a warehouse, too, right?
Yeah. Mostly warehouse and other large stores. But I backing up, I mean, you would have no problem with the driveway and your documentation, and I think that makes good sense.
But these are small vans, right? That are
they're small vans, but they're that new style now. And
like the Sprinter?
8.5 feet tall or whatever. That's a little bigger. It's a Dodge version if you look at it. And there's been a couple of them they parked out in the front parking lot over there. So I think they're pretty tall. But they're considered vans, but they're tall. I think so people, when they're getting inside, they can stand up.
But will you have common carriers delivering product?
There will be carriers on occasion. Yeah, they'll probably get a delivery truck from equipment supplies and stuff that will come down along that area. There'd be some semi-traffic, little, but then they have UPS, FedEx trucks, things like that.
And would that be signed, that back main access way? Is that where most of the deliveries would come in also, the UPS type stuff?
All deliveries would go there, and we certainly could put a delivery sign up. I would think, again, they probably have routines, but we haven't specifically talked about it as an operation. If you want delivery signs saying all deliveries and the sign pointing, you could be free to do that.
Tracy, I'll leave that up to what the building inspector has per code, but I know... The car dealership did have that for delivery and did have an arrow, so maybe something similar would be appropriate, but I would leave that up to the building inspector. If there's no other public comments on this, we'll take this back to more of a closed session with the Planning Commission, hopefully making a recommendation on this so they can move forward. Is there any other questions from the Planning Commission for Rich or anyone else from... the developer? Otherwise, I would entertain a very succinct and somewhat detailed motion. I understand there's a number of questions out here. One of the things I guess I'd like touched on would be the access and some of the, I mean, we've talked about a whole range of things. And Tracy, it might be, it's hard as a planning commission when we're going through the details to capture everything that we've talked about tonight. So I don't know if you have some notes also that would be helping Sherry take notes, because otherwise...
You could, the memo from April 16th with all items that we talked about come from staff, you could just put that as part of the motion that, you know, those things need to be addressed. And some of the things that I caught while you were talking about additions would be the cleanup or the overlay of that back property, so the more eastern parking lot, do some cleanup on that. The sidewalk concerns on, you know, St. Joseph and on Riverside, which are addressed in there, but those two should be addressed. Bike parking, if you wanted to add that in. More handicapped parking spots. The driveways would need to be concrete, improved to concrete, and then the sidewalk access across those parking or those driveways. Light standards, I think someone mentioned the light standards, so maybe that was...
We talked about the height. Well, we had a question about the height of the lights.
That's
and
right,
is that needed?
Lights and maybe even the obstruction on Riverside, but with taking every other one out, maybe that's kind of taken care of as well.
And then Kendra talked about the plantings at the instead of the grass,
yep,
right?
In the corner.
Moving parking.
Oh, yes, moving the parking in the back to line up basically the
yep, against the building, moving
yep.
against the building.
You got all that?
That I had, that were in addition to the ones here. The other question I have, and I don't know, Rich, if you guys have anything, or the Park Planning Commission has any desire for any color for repainting that section, if you guys have chosen anything for color, or if you guys have any concern or questions on color for the painting, repainting. Or if you're going to do something totally different with that eastern section.
The EPIS coating that's on there now is going to need some new caulking, but the color of that, because of the type of product, doesn't require so we're going to try to match that tone as close as possible, which is more sandstone. And then when you break into the back portion, it's more a white paint with red stripes. They actually have in their logo blue with the red stripe in it, so they're kind of going to set that again. I think the relatively right thing is keeping something similar to this.
Even if the main paint instead of the white would be the same color as the EPIS, like the tannish color maybe, so it looks more consistent, and then with the color stripe, whatever they wanted to put into it to kind of bring it together. I mean, just to get an idea from you folks if you, what you thought on the different colors for the building.
I guess one question, Tracy, has the Historic Preservation Committee, they're doing their survey of historic properties. Have they seen anything? I mean, there's the river, there's different properties, there's the heritage, the whole parkway that they're talking about. Are they far enough that they have a theme that they're looking at, or nothing?
Not really. The initial survey will be this fall. We'll be coming back to the village board.
Okay.
So that one's still kind of moving along the process as well, unfortunately.
So we may have something in the future, but there's no...
Right.
Cause
that's
the one thing I kind of... What's proposed would clean it up from what it looks like today. So it's definitely an improvement, but it would be nice if we had a TIP district theme or something overall that we were shooting for. And right now, without having that in place, unless others on the Planning Commission have a preference or some thoughts on this.
Tracy's suggestion.
The entire building to have that sand tone color.
So who wants to take credit for that long motion that Tracy just read off?
That's the motion I'll take credit for.
Okay.
I move what Tracy said.
Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Barb. Any discussion? Discussion? Yes. Trustee Dart.
Just wanted to make sure included in that was this woman's concern about the driveway. Did we include that?
Well, the staff had talked about the two driveways, and we had talked about having the driveway closest to Riverside being removed.
Okay.
I don't know if we should take the staff comment of, I mean, it's... depending on what happens in that back parcel in the future, how much do we want to push to remove driveways?
It makes sense to have a delivery driveway,
yes,
and an employee entrance, and then a driveway on Riverside for the visitors, the customers, and a driveway on St. Joseph for the customers.
So right now we're proposing to remove just the closest driveway to Riverside. And that is it.
And that's their concern.
Right. It's one of those, I mean, access management's important, but at the same time with St. Joseph, I think it's reasonable. It definitely cleans it up by removing that one driveway.
And we're in favor of it as well, so I think that's a good idea.
Because you'll never get people to not turn left out of there.
Right.
And it would be a conflict for many years.
Problem.
Yes, yes it would. Okay, so that's one friendly amendment, correct, Trustee Dart? Okay.
So
any further? Yes.
We've got a list of things that's in our motion to
yes
approve or whatever. Well, we're not really approved. We're just, this is a preliminary
this
stage
is
to send it to.
Well, this is for site plan review.
We only have the
this
one.
This is the only one.
This is the only
shot
one.
At it. So then okay, your recommendation goes on to the village board at their next meeting. So unless the village board has any issues with it, they could send it back to you, but otherwise they would get it and it will not come back to you. The PDD, you get it twice.
Yeah. Okay, right. So what I heard, provide for additional barrier-free spaces, remove the westmost drive on St. Joseph, adjust east parking so that the truck traffic can come straight into the space, provide for pedestrian access, provide some bike parking, adjust landscaping to accommodate the vision triangle. We're talking about a color change.
Or I think that the building would be the sand tone. The entire building would be the sand tone of the EPIS.
Okay. Entire building, sand tone of the EPIS.
Did you have bike rack in there?
I did have bike rack. Bike parking.
Okay.
So. And just a question for Tracy. What can we do about improving pedestrian access from the bus stop on Webster to this facility? Can we do a marked paint stripe or something? Some sort of marked walkway on the roadway?
The plans for West St. Joseph are to put a sidewalk on the north side of West St. Joseph. You can see it comes down to the basically the diocese property and that ends. And then going, plans are to go past the condos that these women live in right now and then head down to Riverside. When the Public Works Director and I talked about it, it depends, you know, what goes on with Riverside may say, hey, we need to also put a sidewalk on south side of West St. Joseph. So it's kind of up in the air, and we talked to these gentlemen about planning for that. Now, as far as access across to the property, I think we'd have to really look at that because you'd end up with a mid-block crossing somewhere. So is it safer to bring them down to Riverside and cross them there? Or if they're up at St. Joseph and Webster to cross them up there. But it's a long block. It's a huge long block.
Extraordinarily long block.
So, yeah, so maybe it's something that the Public Works Director can work on to see if there is a good point in there somewhere that we could put in a crossing and maybe even put some ball belts or something that would narrow that crossing to get people safely across there. So I think it's something that we'll work on in the future when Riverside comes to be and maybe some reconstruction.
Yeah, but Riverside, that's 2018.
I know.
If they're going to be in there this year,
right?
You know, that you've got years with nothing, no accommodation.
You're right.
So,
well, and I can talk to the Public Works Director about West St. Joseph and see what we can do along there. And I know it's always been the plan, and I believe the diocese has said they will help out with the sidewalk on their property on the north side. So I mean, it's just a matter of revisiting that and trying to do it sooner than later.
Okay. So I would think we'd want to add something to say to the village board that we'd like to see pedestrian access brought down St. Joseph to accommodate this facility.
Do we do that as part of the motion that's made and seconded, or do we do that separate, because that's really outside of this? I mean, it's something we can feel strongly of, especially with the TIF district.
It's just a comment we're adding. So, you know, it's only a recommendation. Any of this is only a recommendation. So,
Adam, do you accept that friendly?
It's fine if we can add a comment like that. I mean, if that's appropriate, it's a site plan for the specific site. I mean, so I don't know if that's appropriate.
To me, I would think that's separate from what we're doing here, and that issue has to be addressed separately.
Maybe it's more appropriate that we leave that out. Maybe I send a follow-up, like send a letter to staff and maybe to the village president and just share our concern as a planning commission that, because I don't think it's necessarily right to tie it to this development. I think that's more of an overall discussion point.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this before the board, you know, without tying the developer or the owner, tenant, to the being obligated to put it in. It's a deficiency of the village right now. So. But it's a need, and we've got an existing comprehensive plan that says, and I quote, that requires sidewalks for all new development and redevelopment proposals. Page 57 of the comp plan. So I think we need to address it, and whether it's by a separate motion and statement.
We would recommend the sidewalk per comprehensive plan, but there's no clear way to tie it in because there's no existing sidewalk. So point out that there's no existing sidewalks to connect to, which is problematic for this specific site plan.
And the developer did say that clients, customers, would likely take the bus and have to get down to this facility. Getting up is the other story.
There's just a number of challenges, like where do you cross them? There's a grade on St. Joseph, and those are things that are outside of this development. So how do we want to handle that? We have a motion made and seconded.
Are we making a friendly amendment then?
I don't have any trouble with excluding that comment. I mean, everybody seems to be...
I think you make a good point that it's part of our comprehensive plan for new development, so we should thank you for bringing that to light. The comprehensive plan. So we'll leave it at that. But to mention it and say how it's problematic for new development that where we would require a sidewalk and there's no way to actually deal with that without any type of existing structure. I mean, requiring a sidewalk for the site, there's no way to do it. There's a sidewalk in the middle of nowhere. So I think you're right. It should be in the comment section.
But then if it comes down to there's no plans, and I don't know what the village's plans for St. Joseph is, it could be waiting longer than 2018 before a sidewalk would be put out there. So it's one of those, that's where I think it's a separate conversation.
It might be cleaner to make it a separate motion. Just, you know, do the motion, and then I would say a separate motion saying, you know, we really need to discuss fed access along West St. Joseph, and that's something that you would recommend that the village board look into and take care of sooner than later. Because the developer is willing to put his development in to accommodate the sidewalks. He's already said that both on Riverside and West St. Joseph. So he's willing to do that and accommodate those in the future. It's just a matter of our access points to be there and be able to get people into them or onto them.
But if we're to abide by the comprehensive plan, then we're allowing some type of exclusion up front from what we would normally do with the site.
Is that for new development, Roger, or is it, redevelopment?
Both.
Good point. Both.
New development and redevelopment of existing parcels.
So it could be as simple as allowing allowing for future sidewalk access to be planned, since St. Joseph doesn't have strong pedestrian connection.
I need something I just want to throw up there.
Sure.
In looking at that area of St. Joseph where they may potentially put sidewalk, there, that is quite a large area. And then in looking at the elevation along that side, there aren't many plantings. Would there be potential to put street trees or ask for street trees? And I don't know if you've done that in the past, just to help break up that building, that would possibly work with the sidewalk, that there would be enough area. Have you asked, I don't know if you've asked for that in the past, street trees or planting?
Let me think back. Did we do that for the Ascension, the church, the sidewalk along Libel? I don't remember if we did that for that or not. I don't know. Maybe we didn't do that.
Okay.
So what are we doing, gang?
Well, we've got a motion.
In a second, you're right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points. So, a modification. You know, I'll call the question.
So he calls the question.
Hold on. There are no amendments.
I'm ready to take a motion and...
All in favor.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. So, thank you, everyone, for spirited discussion.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
And now, we will move on to agenda topic 7. Review of the draft site plan ordinance changes to accommodate traditional neighborhood development. Tracy, do you have anything before Aaron? Do you have anything that you want to say before Aaron Schutte from Brown County Planning Commission?
No, I would let Aaron go ahead and explain what he has, and then we can certainly ask questions as we go along.
That's fine. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. Sorry I wasn't here last month. I was trying to stay warm in Florida. That's like going to Florida having record low temperatures. What you have before you is I don't want to say it's a redraft of your site plan design review ordinance. I went through and tried to, I guess, clarify some of the roles and processes associated with the planning commission and the village board. In your current ordinance, one of the major shortfalls that I saw in it was that it wasn't clearly defined as far as what the role was of the planning commission and the village board. There was some overlapping inconsistencies between the roles and responsibilities of these the parties when it comes to site plan design review. I took your ordinance and I first of all took care of those issues that I saw, and I also incorporated the discussion we had that was January maybe. One of the discussion with the village board and with the planning commission was the issue that we have was that the village at the time of the last comprehensive plan in 2004 didn't necessarily take the next step to amend their ordinances to reflect the direction of the comprehensive plan. So the site plan ordinance that I put together here takes your current ordinance, addresses those inconsistencies, but then also addresses what I think the community is looking for in terms of traditional neighborhood development-like proposals. We went through the photographs at that meeting and said, okay, what do you feel about this photograph? What do you feel about this one? So I took that information, took it back to the office, and tried to incorporate those, I guess, thoughts into this document. As I mentioned at the last meeting, when I write an ordinance, I try to make it as clear and concise as possible. Now, I did use your original ordinance as a base, so a lot, there's some language in here that if I was to write it from scratch, I wouldn't include, but it's something that I think the community and the community as a whole is comfortable with using. So, I guess I didn't want to do time to go through this page by page. What I'm hoping is that you had a chance to take a look at it, review it, and see, first of all, if it meets, you know, what you're looking for, but really, take, at this point, hand it off to you as the Planning Commission for your revisions, updates, changes. So I guess what I did was I took care of those really kind of major structural issues. But then when it comes down to, you know, whether you want to require certain paint tones in your ordinance or whether you want to require a certain percentage of brick, that's your call. You know, that's certainly not, you know, I can provide an idea, but that's all it is, just my idea. This is going to be your ordinance. This is what you're going to use to implement the comprehensive plan. So I guess, so I'll go back to, you know, I addressed those major structural issues that we had to deal with. When it comes down to what you as a plan commission and what the village board is comfortable with, that's completely your call. And how you decide that, what you decide, I'll be honest, doesn't matter to me. It's completely your document. So that's why I didn't want to go through this page by page tonight, because again, it'd be me trying to say, well, what if you do this, what if you do this? Really, this is your document. And I guess that's what I was trying to bring forth tonight, was the document, the chance to take a look at it, and I guess from this point forward, you know, beat it up, chop it up, improve it, and make it your own.
I guess, Aaron, a couple comments. First of all, I thought it was some of the changes you made. It's like, aha, that makes sense. It didn't have any concerns with what you proposed. I guess where I'm having a problem is, like I mentioned before, we have this historic preservation committee, and we're talking about should we have a historic district in Allen, and we don't know that. So that's one thing. Would that be, depending on if we know how many districts we may or may not have, hopefully this fall, we might want to have, like you said, the color or the tone of the building. That might be, we might have a historic district, maybe not something like the pier, but maybe something similar. The TIF district, maybe we'll have a similar look that we want for the TIF district. We don't know what those things are yet. So, and then maybe there's the rest of the community, or maybe there's entryways into the community that we'd want another look to kind of showcase Alloway as a destination, a place to visit, a place to live that we're proud of. So I don't really have an answer, just like you, I don't have an answer of what's, how do we make this document fit these different needs that we aren't even sure what they are yet?
And I guess what I would do to address that is, this is your base. When, if and when you develop a historic preservation district, your historic preservation ordinance specific to that area will address those specific issues. Now, this would take care of everything outside of that historic preservation area. With your TIF district, I guess, when I look at a TIF district, or when I consider a TIF district, I look at it more as it's a financial model to facilitate improvements. So, you know, if you're thinking about a TIF district being an actual physical area in an area that you want to improve, you're probably looking more at a specific zoning district to address that issue. With this, then, freeing it up. So, when it comes to, now, I hear a lot about the TIF, and obviously you guys are very proud of that, and you should be. It's a big step for the village, and it's something that needed to happen. But as improvements progress in that, make sure that you know, use this to help facilitate what you want to see there. But if there are specific issues that are, for instance, getting village funding through the TIF district to help facilitate the development, you can certainly apply additional requirements because the village has skin in the game at that point. So that's something that every developer worth the salt is going to recognize and understand. While the village is anting up, whether it's cash grant, whether it's gap financing, whether it's straight up loan, whether it's right down the price of land, there's skin in the game, at which point then the village has more control over it. But this document should provide the base for everywhere else in the village.
See, I guess the reason why I keep bringing up the TIF district is right now we don't have mixed-use development. And I really think that's what's going to drive mixed-use development is the TIF district. And it's probably not going to happen too many other places in the village, or it hasn't to this point. And maybe I need to reframe my thinking on this issue. I mean, does the village board support this? mixed-use development in other areas of the village, or it's been more of the TIF districts, that place where we're trying to basically make it our showcase, bring our business there.
The board has had a lot of discussions about mixed-use development. I mean, not in any certain area, just that they would like to encourage it because of the density issue and nowhere to grow, so it would make sense.
Based upon what I heard at the last meeting, it was something that obviously the village board was interested in, as well as planning commission. I think we discussed at that time that the most appropriate way to address mixed use was to identify the permitted use within one of your zoning districts or create a new mixed use zoning district. And then start identifying some areas within your TIF district where it would make sense for a still village hall property. That could be a perfect location for that. So that, I think, is where you take that mixed use and actually implement it, is in your zoning ordinance. So once you get this done, or even concurrently, look at your zoning ordinance. That's something that needs a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And mixed use, I guess facilitating mixed use through your zoning ordinance as a permitted use is your first step.
I guess what I, the plan here was to establish, find a way of establishing a traditional neighborhood development ordinance, right? That's what we were after. I don't see the modification of this code section as really getting us there without some other integral elements, like you said, the zoning modification. I would really like to see a kind of some sort of checklist or some sort of design guide that tells us how we actually get to being able to point a developer in the direction of doing traditional neighborhood development on an open parcel, for example, or if they want to clear a piece of land, redevelop it. You know, what gets us to that? Because if we just, you know, take these modifications, these won't really get us there, right?
At the meeting that I was at last time, there was a lot of discussion about that. And the question it really came down to was, what are you trying to accomplish as a village? We talked about traditional neighborhood development. Mm-hmm. And it's not like what it really came down to were certain design aspects of regular development that you want to see traditional neighborhood-like development. And the issue that I kept hearing was, it isn't so much that we don't have a T&D ordinance, is that our current ordinance, our site plan ordinance, doesn't require those types of development patterns when it comes to new development or redevelopment. And I think I said back then is you can certainly develop a new traditional neighborhood development ordinance, which is a very comprehensive document, as a standalone zoning district if you want it. You don't have to map it if you don't want to. Just have it on the books for a developer to use if you say, you know what, this is something that might work for traditional neighborhood development, and use this this ordinance to get you there. My understanding, what I was hearing from across at that meeting, was we want to see this not just in a certain district or not just a certain area. There are certain aspects of T&D that we want to see throughout the village. And you're not going to rezone the entire village T&D, but you can, through your site plan ordinance, incorporate those T&D aspects that you wanted to see across the village. And that was kind of the direction that I took from that last meeting, and that's what I ran with.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't see exactly how these modifications guide us in that direction.
Well, for example, 7C, parking lots are located to the side or rear of the principal building. That is something that is guiding us in that direction. We've had a lot of talk about that, and the parking lot shouldn't be in front because you want it more pedestrian friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one good example.
Thank you.
I think that's what I would encourage you, the planning commission, to do, is to take this document, and if you decide, you know, we want to see more aspects of traditional neighborhood development across the entire community, you know, by all means have that discussion. But again, what I did is I took what I thought would work for the village of Alloway, you know, after working with Alloway for the past, I don't know how many years you've been coming out here. So I didn't want to overwhelm everyone with T&D throughout this document. That would just really kind of throw things on its ear. So this is incremental, and I'll certainly admit that. This is an incremental step towards what I believe I heard at that meeting, what you wanted to see.
As I recall, it was totally agreed that we didn't want to have a whole T&D ordinance on its own, and we'd rather incorporate it in the documents we had.
No, that's correct.
Right, yeah. The village board was pretty vocal.
I'm just having trouble understanding how these changes, you know, point us in that direction. You know, some of the comments. You know, some of them seem to be simply logical upgrades of the ordinance. And in fact, when I started going through this, I just found lots of questions about the base ordinance that I just didn't understand. Like, for one reason, it completely excludes single-family dwelling units. I don't understand why that is. So,
mainly because in every site plan ordinance that I've dealt with, single-family dwellings have not been subject to site plan review. And I think single-family dwellings being subject to site plan review really would be... It's something that I don't see in Brown County. You might see it like maybe River Hills in Milwaukee suburbs. But it's just, it's not something that I see working in Brown County. Multifamily, retail businesses, commercial businesses, industrial, absolutely. Institutional uses, definitely. Village uses, absolutely.
But how does it relate to, say, a plat development of, developing multiple single-family dwelling units on a large parcel?
You talking about a subdivision plat? That's a separate ordinance from this. That would be through a subdivision ordinance. And that's what you have to address then.
So that's another document that we would have to adjust to point in the direction that we're interested in.
But is that ever going to be an issue in Alloway?
Yeah, how many subdivisions do you have?
Right. It's more of an issue in areas where you have large undeveloped parcels of land.
Right.
Now, you could incorporate it into your subdivision ordinance where you have these long mega blocks like you have here, and where you have an opportunity to require a dedication of 15 feet for a mid-block crossing. You can certainly include that. But in areas that have large undeveloped blocks, that's where you develop subdivision ordinance with T&D aspects, such as much smaller blocks, grid-like street pattern, mid-block crossings, interconnected street patterns. So that's where that aspect would come into it, is just land division ordinance. Again, in Alloway, since you're pretty much fully built out, a few very minor exceptions, it's just not really an issue.
I agree. The bigger discussions is like tonight we had. We're going to have a lot of those redevelopments or new things coming into new areas, and we have a lot of vacant land. Well, new opportunities for some of the land that's out there. So the incremental approach, I think, makes sense, especially because the board has to live with moving forward with this. And I know the board is not going to want to jump into something way too drastic. So I think your assumption was correct that way. What are some steps as I'm fine making this our document, working through this at maybe next month's meeting? Do you have some suggestions that maybe as the board gets more comfortable with some of the T&D thoughts, how do we move, like Roger said, to maybe a more T&D on steroids program that we're not ready for yet?
Yeah, this is your Chevrolet. This is what I compare this to. What you can do is you can upgrade to the six-cylinder and the spoiler and the mag wheels and everything. incrementally as you feel comfortable. You can add those into this document very easily. They're simple amendments. Then along with that, you take the next step with your zoning ordinance. And you maybe develop a separate T&D ordinance if that's something you feel strongly about that could work in Alloway in a certain block or certain area. But I guess first this, then address mixed use in your zoning ordinance, which again starts to really get you towards that mixed use T&D-like development. And then once you're comfortable with that, get the ball rolling in Alloway, then you're looking at the actual T&D ordinance.
And to be honest, without a professional staff, planning staff, and with there's so many different needs in so many different areas, I don't know if we'll ever get to the Cadillac or adding all the different accessories. So getting something, a baseline, and like going back and talking like the zoning, getting that brought up. I mean, there's so many things. A lot of the ordinances we have, when I started in 2007, yeah, I don't understand why some things are the way they are.
Yeah, but that's why I kind of like that checklist, or you know that guide, you know a guideline plan that says, okay, you start at this, you want to get to these aspects of traditional neighborhood development, and so you know, I just like to see a flow chart of some sort. We upgrade our site plan document, and the next priority would be to adjust our zoning document. But, I would think we'd have a strategy plan that we would put into effect to guide us in these steps.
But should we talk as a planning commission first and then maybe say, hey, Aaron, this is what we're thinking, and then you can say, yeah, that's not going to work for these reasons, or maybe this is it, versus expecting Brown County to do this? We need to kind of do our own soul-searching on where we're going and make sure the board's comfortable with that also.
I think Roger kind of laid out the your flowchart right there already.
Step one, step two, yeah.
Right, step one, mm-hmm. site plan. Right. Step two, zoning ordinance and just mixed use. Step three, you know, whenever you get there, and maybe at that point, the village has to seriously look at hiring a staff person to take on the additional complexity associated with a more complex document. Mm-hmm. Whether it's zoning ordinance, site plan, T&D, nothing gets easier. So that's, I guess that's the discussion obviously the board has to have at some point. But the more complex your ordinances get, the more you're going to need someone really to administer those. Because if you have a great ordinance, but it's so complex it can't be administered, it leads to nothing but trouble. I've seen that in communities. They have an incredible ordinance that they borrowed from Madison that doesn't work in, you know, Village of Surin.
Just have a comment.
Sure.
Could we look at some of the traditional neighborhood development as more like an overlay rather than an entirely new district and approach it that way too?
Sure.
That might be easier.
There's lots of ways to do it.
I just have a question kind of what Roger was asking. With the changes proposed for site plan, if I was a developer coming in and I really want to do more T&D type stuff, how are the changes to this going to allow me to do that? They wouldn't, really, correct?
What this does is, first of all, it sets out minimum standards so that the developer who wants to do nothing with T&D is now also required to do some minimum requirements to move the village in that direction. Now, if a developer comes in and says, you know what, I want to do a really cool T&D project, this won't keep that person from doing it. These are minimum standards. If one wants to go above and beyond, fantastic.
Okay, so a developer came in and wanted to do some T&D type stuff. This isn't going to lay it out for them saying you can do this, 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 and this, but it's not going to prohibit them from doing some of those T&D type things. So then it's up to the Plan Commission and Village Board to set some standards or say, yeah, we would allow this, we would allow that, as it goes through the site plan review or PDD process.
You have to base it upon your minimum standards. As a planning commission, as a board, your minimum standards are what the developer has to adhere to. You can't necessarily say, well, we know that's our minimum standard, but we really want you to do this. It's like saying, well, yeah, I know the speed limit is 55 through here, but we really want you to go 35. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's that's an important aspect of this. So if someone wants to do more than this, great, but they can't do less than this.
I guess what I'd like to see is a way for this to, through this body, to allow circumventing the real limitations which are in the zoning code. That's where people are going to be stopped from doing T&D right now, mm-hmm. until we change that document. But somehow to let this document, to through a planning process, allow circumventing those basic, those very limiting zoning requirements that we have now until we can get those adjusted.
You can't, right? I mean, you could totally come to the T&D proposal right now, and you could allow it for your planned development district process. So your PDD should be set up as a way to provide flexibility from your traditional Euclidean zoning processes.
But will that allow, say, someone who picks up a parcel of, right now it's a large piece of property, single family, and he wants to tear the building down, and he wants to subdivide it into three, you know, or maybe just put row houses there, you know, and just make a little high density place, and the neighborhood could easily accommodate it, but right now, because everything has to be a residential, mm-hmm. it can only be this one building in the middle of this big piece of property. Is there a way we can go around that?
And that's your PDD process. I mean, that's historically what PDDs have been set up for, is to address those situations that just don't fit the perfect square peg of standard single-family development or standard two-family development, mm-hmm. is to address those unique, really cool projects that could come forth. Now, I think historically what Alloy has maybe done with PDDs is maybe taken it to use it as a control mechanism rather than as a free mechanism. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's something to look at. The Site Plan Design Review Ordinance should allow for you as a village to allow for more consistent decision-making with standard zoning processes. Because it's not like historically you want to kind of control some of the design issues. This will take care of the design issues. And if you want to change your design, change it in here with your standard zoning. If someone wants to do something like Roger proposed with a site townhouses or something that doesn't fit, you know, where the uses just don't fit your standard zoning ordinance, that's where you go the road of the PDD. Maybe there's zero setbacks or they're three-story apartment building or something that just doesn't fit what would be allowable under your standard zoning. Your PDD should allow for that, that unique design processes.
Tracy, has staff used, I think what Aaron's saying is correct, that the PDD has been more used as a controlling versus a freeing mechanism. I think that's a correct
statement. Yeah, I would say that it has in the past, that it's used more as a controlling, but it does allow flexibility as well for that development. They can do some things that maybe they couldn't do in that zoning area. So it's gone both ways, but I think the board looks at it, and Penny, you can, you know, contradict me, but it's more of a controlling thing to control that development and do it kind of the way they would like to see it done.
Yes, that's, well, I've only been familiar with one of them, but that's what I saw.
I guess what I would encourage the board and the planning commission to do is use your design review ordinance to provide that control. That way it's uniform across the community. You're not dealing with just one person, and you're not negotiating on the floor, which is the worst thing that you can see. I just saw it the other night in a local community where a development came forward and they're negotiating on the floor at the town board meeting as far as what they're going to allow and what they weren't going to allow for design review.
Any other questions, comments? What's the best, as Aaron kind of stated, we should maybe schedule this for our next meeting, maybe have some...
I'll move that we receive this and take it under review and discuss it at the next meeting.
And Roger, would that amendment also have, do we just want to review it or do we want to have it on the agenda that we take some sort of action, send it on to the board, or do we just want to, what's your thought process?
We all need to have read it well enough that we can discuss it.
Fair enough.
Well, there were some questions that he asked us in the comments,
And maybe we should start asking ourselves those questions before we continue.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's a great place to start. You have some basic questions that help us get into it a little bit more.
So there's a motion to accept the report and add it to our discussion or our agenda for next month's meeting. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? Hearing none? Yes.
Did we want to go through these questions at this point? Or
Did you want to go through, or it's 8:30 already, and I know Kendra has to leave.
I wanted to make a motion.
So. Right, and I appreciate the motion, and now I'm troubled by you wanting to go back and discuss all the
guys. I mean, Adam brought this up.
Oh, no, I was just saying for next time.
Next day, yes.
All right, that's fine.
Hearing no further discussions, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Aaron. And what is left in the contract with Brown County? Would it be appropriate maybe if we have some changes or modifications in a couple months to maybe go back? Tracy had one other question. I didn't move it in the agenda, but I know that under agenda topic 10, approval of the site plan review informational packet. Did you see that, Aaron, at all? That packet, the site plan? That's something we had talked about with Craig, that whatever we do for the site plan review, seeing Aaron's working on it, that he see that document, and it sounds like he might not have seen it.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, you can. We're going to be here a while.
No. Hi, Tracy. I am available for May 30th for that seminar. Yeah. And also, if you have asked me an email about picking the date, that Monday.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda topic 8, plan commission next steps for the comprehensive plan update. Last month we had Cole Runge from the Brown County Plan Commission come and talk about the comprehensive plan original process, and he also answered questions, what's in an update. And one of the big things, we had a question for Tracy as far as when the village began its update process. The big question is, did we update our public participation plan?
No. There's a document up on your computer tonight, recommended process for the update of the comp plan. If you guys want to pull that, and I apologize for the last minute, but I just wanted to, and I asked Aaron to sit for a couple minutes, and if there's any questions you guys have, he's more knowledgeable about being the public end of it than I am. But I just wanted to backtrack with everybody, kind of let you know what we've done on the comprehensive plan to date. It's really started, the review started in 2009, is when the village board started to look at it. They started in May, talked about it a little bit. In June and July, they talked about it again, talked about having some listening sessions and some other things going on to really get some input for updating the comprehensive plan. They did not go ahead with, early on in 2009, they talked about having some listening sessions then. They did not do them at that time. The listening sessions were later, and they actually came about in 2010. Let me go back here a little bit. Yes, the listening sessions came about in 2010. Also, the village administrator was hired in June of 2010, and at that point we had a building inspector. The building inspector was really working with planning and zoning and working with them through the process. He resigned late in 2010, and then in early 2011, lucky Sherry kind of walked me through this today, then I took over more as a staff liaison to this board. And then in 2011, we began, and then my date is wrong in there, it says 2010, but 2011, January, we began review the plan commission. In 2009, and then 2010, the village board had said, send back to plan commission, have them work on the update of the comp plan, let them review it, let them get things going. So we did that in early 2011, January through April. We took every meeting. We went through the whole plan. Chris was here. I think he was the only one that had the pleasure of doing that. So really what we have right now, the document, the hard copy document that Sherry put together for everybody, has all the updates that came from staff, which was originally done in 2009 and went to the village board, and they kind of did some listening on that. It has input from village board. It also has all the planning commission, or planning and zoning, I guess, at that time, input. And then we also had, and Chris, you can remember this, at the end of 2010, a UWGB class took on a project, and they compared our comprehensive plan with our zoning ordinance. And kind of went through that, and then we had a presentation in December out at UWGB where I know Chris was there, and there were several planning commission members, and there were several village board members and myself. And he went through it with us and basically said, you know, their comments, and I'm just going to summarize this, is that our comprehensive plan was good, and it really had some good sustainability and green and good ideas on it, but our zoning ordinance did not hold up or weren't updated to take care of our comprehensive plan, or they weren't consistent with each other, is basically what they had come back with. So after that, then, it was time for us to really start working on the comp plan. And 2012 basically got away from us, and really not much was done on the comp plan. And then we got our intern on board and started giving him everything and having him go. Oh, the other thing we did, too, with the help of the Broadcom Planning Department, is they updated all of our maps. They updated a lot of our graphs. They took the census information, updated it to the 2010 census. So all of that has been done in the plan that you see that Sherry has given you. So a lot of work has been done on it. And granted, this commission has not been involved in all of that work, but there's been a lot done. So I guess just keep that in mind as we move forward. The document that's before you has gone through a lot of review and a lot of work on it already. Having said that, I know the Planning Commission also needs to get involved in it, and you need to look at it and feel comfortable with it as well. And we certainly want to make sure we do that. So when you get kind of in the middle of my memo there, my recommendation on the process is that, you know, the Planning Commission reviews what we've already done. You have that document. Look at it. If there's any tweaks, anything that's needed. I know there are some things with T&D we may want to add. We definitely want to add the TIF in there because those are not in that at all at this point. And there may be other things that you see that you want to incorporate into that. But have maybe one or two review meetings that we sit down and that's a workshop and we just go through that and we really decide what we want and where it's at. But you take an onus on you to do that work ahead of time and really review that plan that we have right now and just come with things that you really think need to be included in that. Then the process itself, as far as the public, because we did not do the public process when we started the update in 2009, what we would need to do, and Aaron, please add to it if there's something that is not correct, we need to have a 30-day hearing period. So when the Planning Commission says, okay, we're okay with this, this is how we want the plan to go forward, the updates that we have. That document would be available. It would be publicized that it's available for people to look at, either come in here and look at our copy or look at the website. So that has to be open for 30 days for people to review it in public. Then we would have a public hearing. And the public hearing, our suggestion on that would be a joint village board plan commission meeting. That way, all planning commission members, all village board members are getting the information from the public at one time. It's not like planning commission's not getting it, and then it all has to be relayed on to village board. And then what would need to happen is it comes back to planning commission as another meeting, and there's a resolution that is approved by planning commission for the update of the plan. Then it goes back to village board, and they adopt a ordinance that would say they are adopting or approving the update of the plan. So that's kind of my recommendation on moving forth with the comprehensive plan. Like I said, I know you guys are new looking at it, but I just don't want to throw out all the work that's been done beforehand. And Chris, you know, I don't know about starting all over and taking it chapter by chapter by chapter, and, you know, you can probably weigh in on that, but it was a long process and it took a lot of time. So I personally don't think that's necessary, but again, if you're in the commission and if that's how you feel and you really want to go back and start over, that's fine. But we're talking about adding, you know, we probably won't get this done till 14 because it took us 5 months to do the review last time for just to go through it all, and we kind of chugged along. But so that's my recommendation on how to move forward. And now I would open it up to you and Aaron. I don't know if you want to add anything right away that would make it better or process that I kind of messed up on a little better.
Nope. You nailed it.
Okay. Well, one question I have for Tracy, and maybe I should start with Aaron. I thought that we needed, as part of an update, to have some sort of a resolution or something on record that we'd have a public participation plan update. Is that null and void if we do the 30-day public hearing period, or we still should do that and the board should do that also?
Yeah,
ma'am. However, there's not the crowd, but sure.
What you should probably do is adopt a citizen participation plan and have it on record. It's not something that can be replaced with a public hearing. The statutory process that Tracy laid out is just that, it's statutory. It's very cut and dry as far as the process you have to go through. You have your Class 1 public notice, 30-day review period, joint meeting, take a public hearing and put Plan Commission and Village Board. Your citizens participation plan in a perfect world is the first thing you do when you start the process to adopt a comprehensive plan, or to start the review. It didn't happen. That happens.
I doesn't that count, what, the two meetings that were held in August of 2009 as public participation?
No, but the plan we didn't update. There's a whole process in the existing comprehensive plan of what was included in that.
What you have to do is have a two-page document that spells out how exactly you're going to involve the public in the planning process, and that has to be adopted by the chief elected body.
Okay, so we did it, but we didn't have the document saying we did it.
Right.
Got it.
And does that change if now we're a planning commission? We're a planning and zoning committee. No. So, okay, there's no extra responsibility now that we're a planning commission to do that.
No, even with Brown County, we're going through our comp plan update. We're just starting it. And Chuck is actually at Planning Development Transportation tonight for our citizen participation plan recommendation from them to the county board.
So I guess in that plan, can we include meetings that have occurred in the past?
Sure. You know, it's something that you need to have that documents the
so it's really just formalizing the process, documenting what it's to be, and right, getting it passed by the village board.
Correct.
Don't have to spell out the whole, I mean, all the stuff that's in here that's in this document we laid out, as well as what we plan to do in future for public
participation. Right. So you have your, so you lay out what you did in the past in the document, and then you also spell out, well, we're going to have our public hearing, we're going to have our plan commission meeting, we're going to have our village board meeting. You know, if you're going to have an open house meeting for the village sometime during the public review period, include that in there.
I think that might be a good idea. I know we've talked about that, as Adam and others on the planning commission have talked about charrettes, or not just having people show up when they're mad about something the planning commission is doing, but actually engage them. And I think it might be appropriate to have, versus the public hearing three times and we're closed, thanks for coming, maybe have an interaction and formal type session. I know that's not in here, but that might be helpful if that's truly our intent, is to engage the citizenry of Alloway in the process. I know it's just an update, but if we don't give that, I'd have a little bit of a reservation on that.
But Chris, we yes. did do that.
We did it, but have we done it now? I mean, we're still making updates.
Well, we haven't gotten a plan developed. I mean, there have been some events, there have been some meetings, there's been times when you've gone in the public, mm-hmm. but none of it's been committed to a document
right.
that has been approved by the board.
Correct.
That's what we need to do.
Correct.
Usually that's done during the 30-day review period. You just set up noticing, come on in, you know, we're here for a couple hours to discuss, you know, take a look at the maps, here's some concepts. And like I said, it's during the 30-day review period. That way it's still fresh in their mind when the public hearing is coming up. And if they really want to participate, be at the public hearing, provide comment, it gives them the opportunity to do so.
I think that would be positive. I guess one other question I have, in the update that we have, that's fine. Does all the planning commissioners have a copy? Did everyone pick one up? Adam didn't get his, so.
I have two of them on my desk.
Oh, okay. And Judy, did you get one? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure everybody had one. I guess it kind of struck me in the front page, the acknowledgments in the update process. A lot of these people aren't involved. Clarence Matuszek, he's not involved in the process anymore. I don't mind paying respect to the previous plan process, but the update, I mean, I don't know if a lot of those people...
What's really missing is that doesn't document who actually passed the comprehensive plan. The board members aren't listed then. I would think that those should be the ones that are noted there, because that is the plan. And then we would have an addendum to that, you know, that we now have a plan commission and we have new board members, and those would be the ones that authorize the update.
You know, and that's a good point. This is a combo effort. Like Ray Kopisch, I think, was on the board at the time. So I think what they did is they took the Cameron McCain's, they combined it into one group, and maybe it should be the board made the decision. I like your format. I guess the other thing is I know Brown County staff has changed dramatically since the update. So I know there's a lot of old names. I was laughing, like Michael Parmentier, go to the flower shop every once in a while. He's not there for many years. So we should probably update this. In fact, Brown County Planning now has a new, you're not on 100 North Jefferson anymore. You're at a different location. So I know we beat the document to death, but there's some early introduction stuff that maybe we should write something describing the process that we went through for the update and who was involved. And then Tracy also mentioned, is there other new things? I was struck the other day when I went to the I Conserve program. I don't know if there's some in the energy consumption part. Everyone should be aware of what the I Conserve program is. We might want to add a little section into our update process at the village. I mean, what are we, one of three communities that went through that?
Yeah.
And if they're saying they saved... They're still going through their preliminary estimates, but at least by conserving or looking at energy loss, the savings in the village alone is 100 homes can be powered for a year. I mean, that's pretty dramatic stuff. So maybe we just have a mention of that program or what some of the results are. And I know the longer you go on with updates, we're always doing new things and you can continually update it, but if there's some highlights like that people can think of, maybe it would be a positive to add those things in. So any discussion on what Tracy laid out kind of as a process? Does that seem reasonable? Any discussion, concerns? Is there a preference to have one review or two reviews? I'm not in favor of going through and doing meeting by meeting in the back room for a long time. I mean, we really went through this, and I think the key is the longer we hold up the comprehensive plan update, the longer we're not going to get to the zoning and some of the other things that are critical to move an update.
I also think it's important to respect all the work that's already gone into it. So by completely redoing or reorganizing it, you're not respecting everybody else's time and effort that they put into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're looking at wholesale revisions. I think we've always been struggling with how do we get at it, understand as a group ourselves, having not been involved in the process, what's in this and how it's changed, and then get to a point where we can recommend it.
So is that fair to say, is there a preference, one or two meetings, that maybe we set it, maybe we give a couple months? I don't know if it's fair to say, hey, next month you should have half the document read and all your comments.
Well, maybe we could, you know, since we've got this potential for adjusting our meetings schedule, right? We just got from Tracy today.
Yes.
Maybe we throw in an extra meeting. I proposed to her that we, beginning tonight, we meet every 3 weeks through June. And then that'll put us to the last Monday in June then, back on our regular schedule. And I think with that little more compressed schedule, we could probably get through it. So.
Any discussion on that? And Tracy, you might have some commitments, so I don't know if we do an extra few meetings, if we just meet as a planning commission and kind of hash out, and if there's extra questions, we bring them your way, or...
Yeah, I'll just have to look the dates. I did get Roger's email today. The meeting on May 3rd, no, 13th of May, June 3rd, and June 24th. And then maybe the June 3rd date would be devoted to comp plan only. I think those are pretty good dates. I'd have to double check, but I think... potentially work. So
how soon before we confirm that? Does that work for most everybody else? You gotta
do it before Adam's out of the country.
I gotta check my T-ball coach and other schedules that are coming up. I'm with you, Aaron. I understand what's coming up with summer approaching, hopefully soon. So if that's kind of our update process, I guess check on the dates, and Tracy, make sure that works. Is there any additional questions anyone has for Aaron about what should be included in an updated process? Public participation process? I guess the one thing, should we be doing a resolution, or is our normal resolution good enough, or should we do a standalone? I had heard at one time that sometimes a plan commission chair should sign something for the record, or does that matter? Yeah, sure, go ahead, Aaron. Yeah.
It should be a separate resolution signed or passed and signed by the plan commission.
Okay.
So when the plan commission makes the recommendation to the village board, it has to be in resolution format, and typically the plan commission chair signs off on it and attested by either the clerk who's in attendance or whoever else is taking notes.
Okay.
And then the village board passes the actual ordinance, which essentially is the resolution. There's an ordinance at the top and then an ordinance number.
Could you send Tracy, because we don't typically do the resolution for the plan commission, and we're a relatively new plan commission.
We've already got that in some form.
Do we on the existing?
I don't know if it's in the plan, but there was something I remember seeing.
It wasn't the ordinance of the formal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Page 166 is the resolution.
Yep, okay, so is it the same if it's the original plan or the amended? That doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Then never mind. I'm trying to make life easy for Tracy, but okay, you can make your own language up.
I think the complicated, what would be nice is by the next time we meet, it'd be nice to have some sort of draft of the public participation process that we could pass right away. We've already got some of the elements listed here on the cover sheet of this process.
It's just putting it in the resolution format. And Tracy, is that doable for staff? I know there's a lot of other...
I can get the citizen participation process or plan process going and get that ready for you guys to look at. I'll put a draft together. I also can take and put some dates to some of these things. It sounds like you would like to, sometime during that 30-day public hearing period, have one additional, public meeting in there to invite people in to say, okay, it's such and such a night. We're going to have all the information about what we're doing with the plan and have a meeting during that time as well.
And I guess I would...
Public hearing.
That is correct, and I would propose it be an open house format. We would not be up here. We'd be down there. It'd be nice if some of the board members maybe notice it as a, and if trustees can make it, because, yeah, we're fine, but we're just a recommending body. It'd be nice if some of the trustees would be there also.
So what I may do is look at trying to put some dates to some of these things, and also keeping in mind you want 1 or 2 days that you want to meet as a commission to do a workshop type thing to go through it, and back everything off of that and try to see where we're at and just bring a process back to you that you can weigh in on.
With the timeline attached.
Yes, the timeline attached. Does that sound right?
So do we need a motion on that? I know Roger kind of...
I don't think necessarily. I mean, you could just direct staff to work on just what you said, and I can put something together and we'll bring it back to the next meeting.
So directed. Thank you, Aaron, for your time.
How loud do you scream when you get in the car when you leave it?
Galloway is much better than some of the other communities I will not name. Right.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Moving on to agenda topic 9, Planners Website Membership and Plan Commissioner Seminar on May 30th. It sounds like Kendra can go on the 30th.
And everybody hopefully has this document. We do want to do it potentially before this. Is there anybody else? I know Barb has something else going on, so she can't make it. Anybody else that is able or would like to go to this, because we'll get you registered. Roger.
I'd like to go to it.
With all the scheduling stuff, this is a time when I think I may be moving out of Alloway. Yeah. Unless somebody can find a house rental in North Alloway, close to Astor Park. That's what I've been looking for. My wife is transferring out of state. We have our house up for sale. We're entering a contract. It'll be end of May. So I'm staying here probably at least another year with my daughters. So we're trying to get close to Otto Leopold when we go to school. But who knows? If I find a place in Alloway, then this is all. I don't want you to waste money and time on me.
So, Kendra, Howard, and Ryder for the workshop will sign up.
And that sounds, I have attended it several years ago as a DOT representative. So, I mean, there will always be good questions, but I think for the three that do go, we'd ask that you bring back, hey, what are some of the highlights that now that we're a newer plan commission, what are some things that we should be doing, or and even things as simple as our resolution format or how we take our notes, or is that appropriate for a plan commission, or is there things we should be updating? So, and if depending on what you guys hear, you can let me know how long of an agenda topic do you need. Do you need 10 minutes? Do you want 30 minutes? Do you want break it up over several meetings? We can do that, however. But then it's more effective rather than sending tons of people if those three share.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would be great. Because even Barbara said really, if anyone can bring some information back that she could get to. So,
yep.
So we'll get the three of them registered, and then we'll go from there, and then maybe they can come back and share what they learned.
And Tracy, thank you for offering that for Planning Commission staff, because I know that's something we've said. Training has been, you learn here and that's it, and I think it's helpful for as volunteers to have opportunities like that.
You know, who really found this and did the work on Sistra, our intern. We had been looking for some training, and he somehow got connected with, he goes to UW Extension, and then he talked to them, and there's a man at Howard, so he's the one that really dug into this and found this, so he did a nice job in finding some good training locally.
If I remember right, this is Rebecca, I think it's going to be a fantastic session. I think it's going to be very good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about her. It'll be good for, because we're just changing and moving through the process too, so to get more members that have a lot of knowledge of it will be great to do. So, okay, so we'll get took care of that. Then the other thing is the planner's website. This is, you guys talked about at your last meeting, something that Roger had mentioned. I don't get a chance to go and look at it. I had Trevor go out and really just cruise it and see what he thought. There's a lot of things out here that you said are free that you can get at that you don't actually have to be a member. If you get into more in depth, there's some things that you can't get to if you are not a member. But he thought it would was a really good site and would be worth looking into. He said there also is a 7-day trial period that people can just go for 7 days for free and try it and see if you really like it and check it out. So I guess I just wanted some feedback from you as well. And one of the things that Trevor suggested also is we go to Economic Development and ask them, because there's a lot of really good things on CHIP so maybe between Plan Commission, if, you know, maybe there's three of you that really think, hey, I'll take advantage of it, I want to get signed up for it. And maybe at Economic Development, we bring it up to them as well, and there's another five there or whatever that would really like to take advantage of it. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at it and what your feelings are. If people are ready to say, yep, I would use it, I'd like to be a member, please sign me up, or where you're at on that. So just to kind of keep things moving forward on that, too.
I guess one question is, the Plan Commission, at one time we had Michael Knight from UW-Green Bay, and he didn't stay on the Plan Commission very long. He was our liaison to the Economic Development Group. After he left, well, now we have Trustee Dart that's on both groups.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to have another member on that group that maybe it would be their role to bring this type of information to their attention? Or if not...
With Penny serving, because she's on Economic Development also. So she kind of serves back and forth between if we want her to do that, or maybe there is... We want to have
just give them their own membership. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the reason... Well, one of the reasons I think it's good to have Trustee on this committee anyway, or commission anyway, but with Penny serving on all three, it kind of really makes that connection there.
But I don't want to put too many expectations that, oh, you got to find this and do this and do this and represent this and be on the board, and something's got to give. It can't be everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, maybe there is somebody else on the committee right now, commission right now, that would like to serve on that liaison as well. That would be fun.
Not me, just mentioning in case somebody else wanted to. So,
what was the cost on this again, Tracy?
It's only like...
I thought it was $95?
$95 for 10 people.
Correct.
For what time period?
For 1 year, correct? Now, is that...
I would think that we should just try it for a year for $95. I'm sure that we'd get 10 people that... I would certainly want to...
Okay, so Tracy, so who I think it is, and we haven't really had this, so I definitely support trying it for a year, and then we reevaluate it when we do our annual report at the end of the year, and say, hey, is this worthwhile? Did we get enough bang for our buck?
No.
And if we say yes, then we can make a case if anyone ever questions it and says, why are you doing this? And if we don't use it, well, so what's the fairest way to divvy up? Now, is this something? Is there a staff member that would want to use this?
We probably should maybe have one staff access, so maybe I do or have access to it. And then maybe have the whole plan commission plus our alternate, so that would be 8, 9.
Would the village president or a trustee or someone else, building inspector?
Building inspector, say no.
So then economic development's out there?
Yeah, maybe economic development we could.
I'm trying to think who on there would be interested.
Do they establish through email? Is that what they do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
so I was going to say, if you could just do a series of accounts just for the village that people have access to, so they're not individual names.
Because
if I had an account, for instance, and I leave, then it's tied to me, tied to my email.
Tracy, can the village do something like that? Is that... That might make more sense than...
Like dummy emails?
I'll check and see how... I'll have Trevor dig into it and see what he can find out as far as how to set it up and what they need for information, or if it's, you know, how it would work for access.
Because otherwise, maybe there's other groups that maybe, if they're not quote-unquote village groups, alley walks and bikes, there might be some useful information that they could have access.
It looks like, you know, we just have Alloway Commissioner 1, Alloway Commissioner 2, and then a password.
Yeah. You know? So maybe
we can pass it around as
we
need.
But if we can get a basic information without logging in.
Yeah, like I think Trevor was saying, and Friday you probably have been out here more. Maybe this would be able to connect with the end of the you know, Planning 101. It's a basic one.
I mean, how many people would really need access to more than the basic stuff right now?
I mean, here's all these different ones: comp plan, zoning essentials, planning commissioners' roles and responsibilities, you know, making your meetings work. So there's a lot of basic things out here.
Ethics, I just saw.
Yeah, ethics out here. So, you know, there's a lot of things here already that people could check into, I think, without even being a member. So then you can get the article on our natural built environment and do that thing.
Do you know how often this has changed, or how often?
I'm not sure. Do you know, Roger, have you been out on this much? Or?
They're usually uploading articles on a bi-weekly basis.
Okay.
New articles. But the basic stuff remains. There's an archive. There used to be a journal called the Planning Commissioner's Journal or something like that. All the articles are archived there. You can research traditional neighborhood development and zoning and sign codes and everything we have to be responsible for, you know, has an article out there, some sort of resource that you can refer to.
I think it would be helpful. I mean, typically when we've done, like, even if we think back to sign ordinance, we always do what are two surrounding communities, and then we leave it at that.
Have articles on how to deal with, you know, abrasive public, you know, if people come in complaining about stuff. You know.
We have to have them show up first. Yeah, we don't have to worry about that too often. But, yeah.
I mean, it looks like there's a lot of things on here that you can look at for free, and that's what Trevor had said too, you know, talking about probably walking workshops they're talking about here, you know, walking around and seeing that's the best way to really see what you have out there. So there's a lot of really good information out there. It's just a matter of, you know,
taking the time to
educate
yourself.
And, you know, maybe as we have different things come up, there, you know, his comment was there's a lot of good information about tips that would be helpful and all that. So I guess
one way we could encourage its use is maybe we assign a different person that's willing to do this, and maybe as we don't have 9 or 9:30 p.m. meetings, we could just have a topic and just have somebody talk for 5 minutes on it. Just something new that we don't know, and then that's one way we're getting some use throughout the process, right? Or if we have subcommittees on a topic, if we're researching stuff, this could be one other thing they look at. So I would be in favor of it, but I'm not quite sure how you set it up.
Okay,
I'm in favor of it too.
All right. We'll check on how we can set it up and provide access so we can let multiple people use it.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, moving on to agenda topic 10, approval of the site plan review informational packet.
Well, we've gone over this several times. So I would make a motion that, my observation about these is that we're restricted by what's in the ordinance. I had made a number of comments, which I passed on to Trevor to put in, and some of the comments I made he wasn't able to put in because the ordinance is written in a specific way. In particular, if you look at these checklists, all of the items on those checklists are in our ordinance. So, you know, we might want to say, for example, that one of the documents that's required is a survey, you know, a certified survey. But we can't do that because it's not in the ordinance with those wording. So I think this is as far as we can take it until we change the ordinance, upgrading it. I mean, our ordinance doesn't even require a stormwater management plan, even though staff has been asking for that of applicants.
You're exactly right on some of these changes. Like the certified survey map, that was something that's not an ordinance, and put that in the building inspector's, like, that's really asking a lot unless you really change the ordinance and put that in.
That's fair.
If you look at the very last page of this, or second page of the checklist, we did put some on the 15th. We did put some of those things that you had suggested, okay. Roger, there, because it's just something for staff to remember, you know, the identification of adjacent properties of 200 feet, the grading, proposed grading plans, landscaping, we talked talked about photometric lighting plan. So it's not something that is in our current ordinance, but we're saying, okay, staff can ask for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we put stormwater management plans there as well. We certainly could move it into erosion control, stormwater management and erosion control plans. But again, it's not actually in our site plan review ordinance. But we do have a stormwater ordinance that's a separate document. Mm-hmm. So we thought putting it under 15 was maybe a better spot to put it. We can still say, hey, and we do that. And you know that just from this evening. We require that stormwater management plan to be done. So it's more of a reminder for staff and just something to put out there for the developer as he's coming through. These are other things that could be addressed and asked for as we go through this process. So it's a way to get, some of the things you said, Roger, in there, but not putting it in as this is what the site plan ordinance says.
Tracy, I did have one question on this, just a general question. How are errors on, okay, this is very helpful for the developer and we're sharing what we want, but let's say we get something that's either incomplete or it's not a very good, maybe there's errors in it that are major enough. Do we have a way how we deal with that? Or do we just say it's not good enough, we're going to push it back, or pass it on and say you guys are going to have to hopefully fix it before it gets to the village board?
You could do either way. It's on the back. I mean, with the one tonight, for instance, they were on the fast track.
Yep.
And we met with them Friday. They came in. I mean, we met with them prior to. So we had a staff meeting with everybody prior to. We made some comments, a lot of the things that were said, and they kind of tweaked it. But then they brought their plans on a Friday. Well, a lot of staff wasn't in Friday, so then it's like Monday and Tuesday. So I apologize for you getting your stuff late. But Monday, Tuesday, staff's looking at it going, what about this, 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 this? So I wanted to push them out further. But I'm like, okay, we'll go through this, and we're going to keep you moving. But you may have a ton of stuff from Plan Commission that's coming back to you to do. And so they say, okay, fine, we'll just keep moving ahead. But normally what I would like to do is take the time to make sure by the time it comes to you guys, it's pretty set as far as staff and meeting the requirements. You guys can put anything else into it that you want, that you see, but at least it's in agreement to a certain degree with staff and the developer. And this one, there were just a lot to it, and to keep them moving through, we thought, well, we'll just keep going.
And that's why I took the time to read the whole memo, because normally we only have three or four things, and it's like, yeah, just do this.
Yes.
But
so I was glad you did that, because there was a lot of things that we needed. And they were given that, and they knew all those things were coming back, because I said, we're going to meet Monday, Tuesday, the staff's going to go through it, and I'm going to get you something out, and you're going to have to address that, prior to the meeting on Monday. So it was too compressed to get the stuff out. I'd like to affect slower than that.
And then on your submittal dates, you are only allowing for a week. Should they be submitting 2 weeks prior to, so you do have more time?
Yes. Where does it say that?
Well, the submittal dates on the back here, then your deadline for plan commission review is only a week prior to the meeting date, so should you be allowing maybe 2 weeks?
See, that I think is okay. If they have the staff meeting and have things organized beforehand, because then what happened with them, we had the staff meeting, we got everything kind of done, so do this, get it back to us again so that we can get it ready for that week before.
Okay.
So they did, and that was too tight that way. So I think a week before to get us the final that staff has looked at, that they've sat down and really talked about and we're comfortable with, is okay. But they just miss, the staff end of it got too tight.
I guess the only other comment I have on this, as we come up, we're going to be maybe changing some of our meeting dates. If we change that, we should make sure these are changed also as appropriate. So, and with that, is there any other comments?
Should we be approving it, or should we be waiting? Because now Aaron from the county said he didn't take a look at this at all, so he was going to get copies of this one and the PDD. Should we be waiting for his comments in case he finds something?
I mean, you could approve it based on it, unless there's something major from Aaron that comes out. I mean, really, like Roger said, this is really taken out of our current ordinance.
Yeah.
The only thing that Aaron may see is, in another community, we organize it this way instead.
Okay.
But for him to say there's a lot of changes to it, he really can't.
No.
He's
got to follow the ordinance.
Right.
I mean, when an ordinance gets all changed out, then there may be some changes to it.
Okay.
I guess I just wanted him to be aware of this as he's working in the site plan review process. So I guess I'm comfortable. I mean, if he does have major changes that we're missing something, some requirement, we could always bring it back.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
that being said, unless there's any comments, I would entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
By Roger, is there a second? I'm going to let Mr. Perillo, because you're always closer, I always call on you. Any,
your hands
yeah.
Right in front of your face.
Any discussion?
You're almost hitting them.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to approval, agenda topic 11, approval of the Plan Development District informational packet.
In PDE, there weren't a lot of changes. I mean, there was some miscellaneous wording in that second paragraph of the PDE. It changed out some recommendations that came from the commission. Other than that, there weren't a lot of changes. Some of the same changes were on the final approval, where we added 15 in there for the staff end of it. And like I said, some of the things, again, that Roger had recommended, did not include because of the whole process. But otherwise, it's pretty much the same. And then he did lay out the dates differently, so it was just a confusing with the plan on the top and the village board on the bottom.
And I have the same comment, depending on what dates we move planning commission meetings, it might impact this document also.
Move to approve.
By Roger, is there a second?
A second.
All right, second by Barb. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Excellent. Moving on to agenda topic 12, discussion of tasks for 2013. How I originally wanted, I realize we're getting later into the evening now. What I wanted to do was go through the minutes real quickly because there was a number of questions or topics that came up at the meeting when Craig filled in for Tracy that I'm not sure if we've had answers on. And then I actually had written down, and I wanted to kind of have a brainstorming of tasks of what we want to accomplish for 2013. And I guess I broke it down, some of my initial thoughts, short-term, mid-term, and longer-term type tasks. But I don't know if we want to defer some of this discussion until next month. It seems like we're having such filled agendas that it's just working out that way.
Well, we have tonight, we've gotten two items off of our agenda that have been there for
that is correct.
Months or more.
That is correct.
Had a lot of discussions. So.
So, what's the... Do we want to defer it until next time?
I think we should defer it and just have time to think about it.
That's fine. I
mean, we already know that we've got the comp plan.
Right.
We're looking at zoning down the road. We've got the site plan review ordinance adjustments. So.
Well, I like your idea about the certification for the village, the green certification. And then I just have some short-term...
Yeah, I'd like to do more research on that and see what the benefit to the village would be and be able to give a report on it.
And then I also had getting more members. I have a number of things, but yes, I guess everyone's assignment for next time is to think about the short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals. There was a few things in the minutes that I do just want to go back and question very quickly. One was... Number eight, there was a question we had talked about and we had approved the Plan Commission position description. Should the wording be co-chair or vice chair? And Tracy, I don't know if you had... Okay, that was... Okay.
And we'll bring that back to you. That one was approved and completed, so we'll get you a final copy of that and also the annual report was approved and completed. We'll get that done back to you guys and then out to the village board as well. And probably economic development and plan...
Okay. Those are the major things I had, unless anyone else had anything else. So we'll just defer, I guess. I don't know if we need a motion because that was a discussion topic. Let's just bring it back to the next meeting if we have time, or the next meeting after that. And otherwise, let's go on to agenda topic 13, next meeting date and agenda items.
Well, next... Could at the next meeting we
maybe talk about this pedestrian access down St. Joseph.
Yes, I guess what I was hesitant to do a separate motion on it because it wasn't on the original agenda, but I can either, would it be appropriate to draft a letter, or should we just bring it back as an agenda topic and then just act on it? We can do it either way. I mean, it's...
Anyway, if you want to bring it back as an agenda topic, you can do that for the agenda.
Would it be appropriate to ask Craig, does the village have any plans for St. Joseph, or what they have is what they have, and we should just plan on retrofitting a sidewalk? Because that's a question I have. If there's a larger reconstruct level project, do we wait and add it as part of that, or do we move separately to act on it?
You know, when Craig and I
discussed it, you know, the plan has always been to continue that sidewalk on the north side of West St. Joseph down to Riverside, and there really has not been a plan to put it on the south side of West St. Joseph, but as him and I discussed it, depending on what happens with Riverside, there certainly may be a desire to have a sidewalk also on the south side of West St. Joseph. So I can revisit with him and see if there's anything more concrete that they have in place, but that was our recent discussions. That's what he said. That's what the plan has always been, to go on the north side.
But I guess one of the other challenges that are out there, this has been kicked around for a long time, how do we access the Fox River Trail? And there's limited opportunities. Yes, there's the signal down by the path between Webster and Riverside on 172, but it would be nice if there's another crossing somewhere to the northern part of the village. And you go north of St. Joseph, and you got the cemetery and retaining wall, and it's just not a conducive place to have a crossing. So I like the discussion, but I want to take it almost a little bit bigger. And so I don't know if where we take that, but...
We can certainly put on the next agenda, and there is some interest north of Eves for some kind of development that would also be conducive to encouraging crossing across Riverside. So, and that is in with DOT, with their reconstruction of Riverside. We have said we want some really good bike path crossings across this road. And St. Joseph is one that they are looking at as well. So, but again, like Raj said, that's out of 2018. But I think that, I don't think it hurts for us to revisit. We can look at the Safe Route to School plan and see what's slated for St. Joseph on there as well, because I'm sure that was part of the plan. So we can look at that and see what's out there and what they recommend too.
Well, I would rather have a plan and discussion in place than reacting, like a lot of the things that happened tonight for the development we're just reacting to. And we haven't really thought it out. Adam, you had a question?
I think this is also one way to take a step back on what happened with that discussion. Because I think Roger brought up a good point when we have, and that's what I was getting into. I didn't want to belabor the point at the time. But when there's something in our comprehensive plan that we can't comply with because of lack of infrastructure, lack of sidewalks, for instance, we're supposed to encourage these pedestrian connections. And when we can't do that in a review process, we should acknowledge that when it goes forward. So we do things in the affirmative. We'd like to see this, we'd like to see this, we'd like to see this. And then we should have those instances of when we cannot ask for things to be put in because there's something lacking. And so that's something we couldn't really comply with a comprehensive plan, or have them comply with a comprehensive plan, because how do you do it when you don't have
a tool to do it?
Well, yeah, you don't have anything to tap into. There's no way to design it right now. Now, they're open for the future, which is nice, but it's a Band-Aid.
But incremental, I mean, we're charged with the responsibility to identify those shortcomings in the village and inform the village board of the
need. Right. And I think that's, next time we have something like that, we have to have our own policy of, well, we will acknowledge this, that we can't have them do this, just to show how we're lacking in some areas. And then it brings up the larger point we can address. Well, what do we do before?
How do we fix it? What's exactly lacking for us to be able to do that right now? When you look at that, why can't
there's
we do
no
it?
Sidewalk to tap into. There's no sidewalk there.
But then the other people would have to make sidewalks. So
exactly. See, that gets into the whole issue.
So how do you, what do we do with that? How can you solve it?
Well, what they're saying is to at least acknowledge it. And I guess, Tracy, one question, is that something we'd ask the village attorney and say, we'd have what we're proposing is having, what I hear that we're proposing, have our regular resolution and have our recommendation. But maybe we have something, an acknowledgement of what we should be doing, but we can't do because of existing limitations or geography or whatever we're dealing with.
It's a way to set priorities, too. If you have some things going on along a certain street and these things keep coming up, then it would be like, well, that's a place where when we have the funds or we have an ability to correct these problems, that becomes a place to do it.
What I like about it, now I'm thinking about this on the fly, is it also documents something. Let's say this development is too late, but another development happens farther up St. Joseph. We could bring back these minutes or whatever else and say, ooh, a plan commission 2 years ago, they acknowledged this was a problem. We should be doing this. I mean, we should still be checking the comp plan anyways and finding that. But this gives some documentation.
How do we make property owners, if they can't do it now because there's no direction for their sidewalk connection, and Rich indicated he's open to it. How can we do it on the back end and say when this does happen, they have to comply with it?
And what would have to happen?
You know what? I think this is a prime example right across the street here.
Yeah.
Part of that development was that sidewalk had to go in.
Yep.
His whole take the whole time is that sidewalks no more right after I have to put it in.
Yep.
And it's a short-sighted way to look at it because we could technically make this development for the sidewalk along Los St. Joseph saying, you're putting this walkway in. It may be 5 years down the road until it taps in all the way up to Webster, but it's here. Mm-hmm. And it's no different than the property across the street. His contention is it doesn't go anywhere, but you know what? Maybe this piece is. You got the piece to the south that's tapping into.
Yeah.
It will continue north. And so you can use that same philosophy actually with this development, I think, mm-hmm. to say, hey, you know, we feel strongly that you should put that sidewalk in there. But it doesn't matter if it doesn't go anywhere.
Didn't the village plans have sidewalk on the north side of St. Joseph? That's where I'm having this struggle, not the south side. That's where, if you see, that's where, in this case, it's a little different than across the street. But otherwise, I mean, if it didn't, I mean, we still can't push for it, but it's a little bit different case if all of a sudden the village says our plan is on one side of the street, but now you're here and you're redeveloping, so you have to do it too.
Would that... In the case of this one, because you talked about how going all the way to the corner intersection may not make sense for pedestrians coming down that walk, even if it's on the other side, if you had a sidewalk along that property, it provides a link farther up to connect across the street for pedestrian walking, a walkway.
To have that mid-block crossing.
Right, exactly.
That would tie you into that sidewalk on the north side.
Should we ask Craig to look at it? I mean, there's grade issues and other things versus conjecture. Maybe we should have him take a look at it. What can we even do?
Well, and that's the point of discussion. We're having basically the discussion towards a motion that I was proposing for next time.
No.
So.
I'll talk to Craig about it, and then we'll see, because, you know, even having a sidewalk there for 5 years or
yeah, right now they're on Webster. They don't even know if they have a problem or not.
Right.
Yeah.
When they move, you might see troops of people.
Desire lines.
St. Joseph.
Yeah, we were right. See? No. Okay. Anything else on? For the next meeting agenda. I put you on the spot here, and mine's shutting down. It's 9:30 now, what we all had. And normally Tracy sends the agenda to me, and I have a chance to review it. This month we just ran out of time with a lot of stuff going on. And then Tracy, you were going to check on the dates and make sure they work for you? Is that how we were going to deal with that? Or... Correct. And that.
There are a couple options. We can move it to a different date that I can come to. I can talk to Craig and see if Craig would be willing to come to the meeting on the 20th again. And see if we'll go from there. But June 3rd would work, June 10th would work. 17th, where it's going to be maybe 22nd or 20 throughout, but we have a meeting for short preservation that we're going to have, so that meeting that night will not work as well, that short preservation that night. So I don't know what your feelings are on the 3rd, 10th, or the 17th. Those are just on Monday and Tuesday. I believe that.
What was the schedule I put down?
I got that here somewhere.
It was May 3rd, 20th, June 11th, and 25th.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, May 13th, June 3rd, and June 24th.
Can't be here June 24th.
Okay.
I'll be on vacation that week too, June 24th.
Other than that, my Mondays are pretty open.
The bad thing about May 13th, the rest of you, is that I have a review night for a comprehensive plan to get things organized and get it ready for the May 13th meeting, right? It's too tight. We need to get, you know, do the things that we talked about tonight and get it organized again by next meeting. But if you did just a comp plan review that night, we already have that done and out, so that we can certainly go ahead with that.
Is that fair? Can we send that out then? We'll make that change. And so that, does that need to happen? The May 13th meeting doesn't need to go on those other two documents, the PDD and the site plan review, because that's just an internal.
Right, that'd just be a workshop.
But you would have to change the May 20th to June 3rd. Or just leave it the way it is and then you have more time to get ready. Can we have it in the back room? Because then, I mean, if people want to come in and sit in, they're welcome, but that's more of a internal type, yeah.
Okay, and then we'll do our regular meeting on June 3rd for our May 27th.
Sounds good.
This is another thing that's going to go on the next agenda.
Sherry is saying, number 7, review of the draft site plan ordinance changes to accommodate traditional neighborhood development.
Accept report and add to next month's meeting.
Okay. And then we also have the discussions tasks. This has been a fun, long meeting. If no other comments, I would entertain a motion for adjournment. By Roger. Second by Adam. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you, everybody. Good discussion.